Want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Here they are. Here they are. These are the guys behind the ice storm. Here they come.
Yes.
Conspiracy. They all look like Bob Ryan.
A little younger.
Oh, and their leader.
Based on a true story.
Right.
He was a neo-Nazi. True enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of faith. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
They may look like Bob Ryan, but that's not a golden snow shovel.
No, it's not.
Watch out.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Apparently now Don wants a soda during the show.
Yeah, excuse me for being a prima donna.
And all the ships at sea watching her. They'll choke you out.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mara.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie. Hi, thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Monday. 01-26-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz. And
we're here. Ice, baby.
Yeah.
Ice, baby.
Yes, paralyzed mid-Atlantic section of the United States.
Panic, baby.
Panic my ass.
Phone number right here, 877-365-3636. That's from anywhere in America that we broadcast to. From Canada, parts of Canada get the show, 800-636-1067. Actually, I wonder where we broadcast in Canada, the parts that can get us, I wonder how many of them do get us. You know what I mean?
You get the joke,
really,
you mean?
Get it. Yeah. You get it. It's available there. And D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067.
Do you get us?
Those are your phone numbers. Only call now if you have an exotique, an emergency call, an entertaining call.
Yeah, now, in the event that you are trapped in some sort of snowbank in 10-foot drifts of snow.
That would be exotique. Also dangerous and exciting, and what we're
call
looking
us
for.
After you call the proper authorities.
Right. So make those calls. Otherwise, wait for your turn during the rotating random phone scan,
right,
which is coming soon. And wow, the weather has hit hard for me here because I can't get rid of my kid.
Sounds like a song lyric. I can't get rid of my kid.
He came back for the weekend from college down at Clemson in South Carolina. And as it turns out, last night, flying back there, they were having an ice storm.
Yeah.
And down there, they're having a real ice storm as compared to what we're having here right now in D.C., which is just less snow than was originally predicted, and now a little freezing drizzle.
Freezing drizzle.
Mm-hmm.
Or as they like to say.
The wintry mix.
The wintry mix.
The wintry mix.
And that's when they should have their hands chopped off.
So
any forecaster that says wintry mix.
You know, my wife and I are settled in our ways. He's moved on to college, and we love having him around, but I think we had both been looking towards whatever time it was, 3:55 yesterday, whatever time, the plane would leave,
yes,
and he'd go back to college.
Right.
Well, as excited as he was when he was a little guy when there'd be a snow day,
right,
the call, last night, Dad, flight's canceled.
Right.
I said, well, how could the flight possibly be canceled? It's not even snowing here.
Mm-hmm.
It's down there. I said, okay, I go on the web, I go to the train. No. Well, we got him. We got him all night.
This was an unscheduled visit, right?
Yeah. Well, no, he had planned to come home for the weekend.
Okay.
But go back, you know, because he has classes today. As it turns out, they canceled school down there. They canceled even college, so he got a day off with
pay. Canceled college in the United States. College is canceled today. A lot of colleges are.
So then we get him on another flight to go back down there, and we go to the airport, and, well, not we, it's my wife, goes to the airport, and they get all the way there, and they get inside, they go past all the crap, and then at the last minute, it says, oh, delayed. No, wait, hold on. Canceled.
Oh, you gotta canceled. Love those commuter airlines.
Flight canceled. So now it's a mad.
It was a small one, right?
It's a mad scream. It's a medium sized plane. Like not one with propellers, though.
Oh, like a little small regional jet.
Mm-hmm. A real plane. Anyway, we're just trying desperately now to get him out of town, and
sure.
We're trying real hard to get him on a train. Uh-huh. He's not thrilled about
the
idea.
You're actually exploring renting snowmobiles,
a dog sled. Yeah.
Pretty much anything. Plus, I've noticed this about my kid, and you don't hear him much on the show anymore, and with good reason. You know, he's not Cody Gifford.
Right.
He's off, and he's doing what he's doing in life. But I did notice, and a lot of parents have this thing with their kids where you think your kid has a sleep disorder, and I don't think my kid has a sleep disorder because my kid has no problem sleeping. The problem is that my kid is very much like Elvis in his sleeping habits.
Right.
And I called him on that when he woke up Saturday afternoon at 3:30.
Uh-huh.
Now,
Jesus.
3:30 p.m. That's wow.
Yeah.
That's late.
He was tired.
That's real late because he was up. He didn't go to bed
right.
until I saw the away message on his instant message
uh-huh.
was something like, I'm going to try to go get some sleep now.
Uh-huh.
Gosh, I hope I can't. 6:30 a.m.
Well, then that makes sense. Then he's basically staying up all night and sleeping all day.
Right. And you know, as I pointed out to him, this would be great if he was going to night school.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to day school. He's not going to night school.
Well, he's not. It's not school time we're talking about. It's recreation time.
Well, this right. is, you know, I don't know how much of this has trickled over to the college life.
Right.
You know, with them sleeping through classes or whatever it is.
I was a tad nocturnal in my college days.
No,
most
anyway,
people that age are.
He took offense to Elvis, and then he came back and he said, no, I'm not like Elvis. I'm a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with the name Velvis.
Do you have any morning classes?
Yeah, don't even get me into how stupid he is the way he's scheduled his college classes.
Okay.
Yes, he has all of his most kids have like their classes over 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
He has got all of them in two, and he all went, is that what you did, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not really that wrong to do that.
But being as a kid who normally is going to bed, from what I can understand, like about 6 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
he has a lot of 8 o'clock classes.
A lot of 8 a.m.s?
He has a whole lot of 8 a.m.
No, see, that's not good. I was the proudest I was in my, I believe, my junior year, mm-hmm. when my Monday class, the first one, was 6:30 in the evening. And finished right before Monday Night Football.
Well, see, now that's planning.
Yeah. That was my only class of the day.
That's planning.
I loved it.
Ends into the week.
Anyway, he's doing whatever he's doing.
Is Wednesday his tough day?
I think maybe Tuesday and Wednesday are. Then I think it's pretty much, you know, the weekend.
I'm proud of him.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's just, that, I mean, he's a freshman. He's a freshman, and he's got it.
If you're really proud of him, then you can have him when he comes home.
Yeah. All throughout my college career, Wednesdays were my hell days. I mean,
right.
Tuesday night, that would be when I would study. I would not do anything on Tuesday.
Well, that's not true.
Oh. Okay, I could go on and on about it, but... Well, see, Wednesday was a busy day for me, but Tuesday night was Tuesday night at the tavern.
Well,
61 WAMU, American University Radio.
Either way, he's got to get back to school.
Is he happy down there? Are things going well for him?
He's very happy. There's stuff, you know, I'm here complaining about him, but I'm doing so in a loving way.
Of course.
I love this kid more than anything, and he really is a great young man. He missed a party in his dorm on Friday night, and now with this modern age that we live in, dig this, Daddy-O. They digitally record the kids at this party in various stages of enjoying the party and then transmit them via electronic mail, I'm told it's called. And then you can actually watch this on your computer.
Wow. So you can track the party.
So there was a party, and there was one kid, and I was looking at this video, which was shot Friday night, and he was here Friday night. He wasn't there,
right.
But they said to him, oh, boy, you missed a great party. Here's some of the video from it. And they're real-time little clips, and I said to Bart, what's wrong with that one kid's face? And he said, oh, Dad, no, when that kid passed out, I mean, when that kid fell asleep,
yeah.
Everybody got magic markers out and drew stuff all over his face.
There you go.
And then there's another shot.
Yeah, and I mean there you go, because that's it, man.
There's another then there's another real-time video of the same kid who's got his face looks like Mike Tyson's.
Yeah.
You know, because they've drawn all this stuff on it. And he's sleeping, and they got a big, gigantic bottle of Evian, and they're just dripping it into his ear. And what's happening is, as they're dripping it into his ear, it's actually running down his cheek, and by the time it gets to his mouth, the young man is so...
sleepy.
So sleepy that he goes... good.
Water.
Good. And I mean, this is not planned. This is
right.
Not like, you know, wacky Animal House hijinks. This is the stuff that happens all the time.
I think that's, and Michael probably backed me up, that was fairly standard for the first person to get sleepy at a party.
If you went out at a party.
Fair game.
If you went out early at a party, you were going to be abused.
But I guess the difference now is that now it happens, and you videotape it,
yes.
You download it, you send it to your friends, and then the next thing you know, your friend's parents are watching it, And one of the friends' parents is talking about it on the radio. Of course, I don't know which kid this is.
Yeah, back in my day when I went to college, if something like that happened, the only way we could pass it along to our friends from other cities is to perhaps recreate it in an oil or an acrylic. And the oral, the great oral tradition.
Well, you certainly could not.
Actually, when I went to school, we did have some girls with an oral tradition.
But you couldn't send a real-time movie, though.
No, absolutely not.
You
couldn't do that. But it was, that stuff went on. I mean, it really hasn't changed.
And my Lord, the language.
Lord.
The language that these youngsters use, it's funny. If it wasn't my kid and kids that he was going to school with, I would get the tape and play it on the air. It's that funny. It's
right.
Fracturingly funny, and how odd it is to be sitting in a room. Both my wife and I are watching this with my son because, listen, you know, your kid's going to do what your kid's going to do at college, and you just have to send your kid down there with the best knowledge that you have. But I know that there are certainly days, nights, weekends, where my son's face is the canvas for whatever masterpiece they're drawing.
You know, he sounds like he's sleeping in, and I slept in. It sounds like maybe he's probably, like, at a party during the hours of a normal party hour at a college.
Mm-hmm.
With his schedule, he's probably just about the middle of that party, let's say 11:30, 12:30 at night. That's probably when he's peaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
that kid was probably up at 8 o'clock in the morning. That kid that they drew on.
We're still trying to get him out of town, but the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. this is funny. Always that my son goes to the Clemson University. Most people have heard of it. The big Tiger Stadium down there, Death Valley is what they call it, and it is a Southern school. It's in South Carolina, And there are people from all walks of life that show up at this university.
Of course.
But it's, like I said, predominantly a Southern university.
Mm-hmm.
So Bart pulled something out of the Clemson Union place on a bulletin board.
Right.
And thought that I'd see the funniness of
this
it.
This was posted in the student union?
Yes, it's on a bulletin board. Mm-hmm. And as you see on the top, I won't mention the name, but it has someone's name, and it says brunch.
Uh-huh.
And then below it is the star of David. The
star of David, that's
and,
right.
And mm-hmm. then it says, attention, Clemson Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Come get some bagels and learn what, name not used,
right.
has planned for the semester. So, how nutty is
multicultural down there in the South?
It is.
How nutty.
Nice to see that the Deep South is making progress.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Shalom, y'all.
Attention, Clemson Jews.
There you go.
Well, so that's what my son brings back from me from college.
Years ago, you probably wouldn't have seen a poster like that. I'm glad they're making the progress.
Not. They're trying. Anyway, that's up with him. He's doing great. We just want him to go back
sure.
to school.
Now, you think you're going to get him out today? Or?
Well, Mike, you know, when all else fails, look to Amtrak.
Mm-hmm.
When all else fails, throw the boy on a train.
You know, I love the train, Don. You know, I love Amtrak. I really
throw him on the train.
And, you know, all that stuff about, you know, they don't have the proper amount of security. Don't worry about that.
Well, that's another day for another discussion.
You have too much security, as we've all known, going through airports.
Just slows you down. Yeah. It just slows you down.
That's relaxed right. Security means more people on the train, more people getting back to school.
Bingo.
There you
that's
are.
Right. So, yeah, that's the hope right now. If you listen to the show on Friday, my wife, what is it we're saying now? Is it Frida, my wife? Or
Frida, my wife.
My wife.
Frida. My wife,
there it is,
called and announced that she had some grand weekend plans.
Yes, I remember.
For me. So all day on Saturday, I'm saying to her always, what do you want to do? She said, I don't want to do anything. I said, I got to run to the grocery store, which incidentally was a mistake because everybody was out panic buying already. Right. I mean, all the mundane things, is I got to go to Best Buy, I got to go to the dry cleaner.
She said this or you said this?
I said this.
You said this.
So I said, after saying to her, dude, like, do you want to go to a movie? She said, no. And I even found one that I didn't really want to see, the Mystic River. I said,
did you go see that?
No, I offered. I said,
okay.
I said, if we leave right now, this was like noon on Saturday. I said, if we leave now, we can go see this. You said you want to see it. Let's go. Mm-hmm. She's nah, I don't know.
Mm.
I keep saying.
So no plans at all?
Right. I keep saying, anything you want to do at all? She said, no, I'm fine. If you're fine, I'm fine. So I'm running out doing stuff. As a matter of fact, Rob called me at one point. I was in the bookstore. Because I said to her, I'm going to go over to Borders. You want to go? No, I'm okay. This is after she had said to me, and said in real life, wait till Saturday.
Right.
Well, she was getting somewhere with us. That, as it turns out, Saturday was the gigantic Viagra experiment.
Aha!
Oh.
The gigantic spontaneous, but not really spontaneous Viagra experiment, where
right.
She was going to take it and not let you know.
Right. I figured this out halfway through dinner. I'll tell you about dinner in a second, because this was the low point of our weekend.
Oh, and not no. You should, you know, really, for people that are just tuning in, you should explain right off the bat. Not Viagra.
I'm impotent. Let me put
there you go.
Now, I'm very...
You know, you have no, you know, eunuch.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
I have no D&Bs. No, a doctor has told my wife that if she takes Viagra, a lot of women here, that you know, get them going.
Right.
And, you know, I'm all for her getting a jump start.
It's just a theory at this point.
Because, frankly, I think, she, you know, I'm like most guys, you know. My on-base percentage is not very good. Even for being married, it's not very good. When you think of all the times that I make the move and get, you know, the, oh, no, later tonight. Or,
yeah.
No, the guy's coming over.
She's got a tremendous defense.
She's got a lot of stuff going on. She does. She's the Bill Belichick of sex.
The Iron Curtain.
It's like trying to have sex with her. Like Carolina trying to score this weekend. Good luck. So we're at dinner. This dinner, which for a brief time was awkward and funny and awful. She said to me before this dinner, as we were sitting at the table, she said, I've got plans for you tonight when we get home.
Were you with others, or was this a solo dinner?
No, just the two of us.
Hmm. But it was awkward.
But no, the awkward part was earlier.
Okay.
I'll get to that in a second.
Uh-huh.
But she had said to me, as we sat down, she put her hand on my leg, which, like, normally it's to either point out a stain in my pants or to get
green spot.
Or to get that thing like that Three Stooges thing where she'll go, oh, look down, and then I look up and I get
oh, she does that to you.
Every once in a while I get caught with that.
See, that means it's still fresh. Yeah.
So she says, she puts her hand down there, and I look down, her hand just, she's on my knee, she says, I have plans for you. So right away I know.
You knew.
I didn't say anything, but I knew that it was that she had taken the Viagra. Mm. And, of course, I'm always ready. You know, I would have done it right there on the table.
Did she express, did it give you any indication that the stuff was really working?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know. And I didn't want to say anything to her because that's the deal that we had made.
Right. You all hopped up on Viagra?
Don't tell me about it. Just take it and then let's see what happens.
Right.
So she said, yeah, when we get home. And I said, yeah, when we get home on your schedule, which means, you know, I'm going to be asleep because it's be after 11 o'clock. She said, no, really, when we get home, your schedule.
It's going to, it sounds funny when you say that. It's going to be after 11 o'clock. Is this a Saturday night?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're really saying you're like ready to go down to that small retirement community in Florida when you talk like that. You know,
Mike,
it'll be after 11 o'clock.
Mike,
I know you get up at the crack of dawn.
I have a very boring life.
I know.
I go to bed.
For your son, it's lunchtime.
I go to bed early. I wake up early. I like
right.
Seeing sunrise. I like
so
seeing sunset.
So she doesn't catch you like during the day or like in the early evening.
Like I'll even wait. You know, sometimes I wait in bed for her, and she says, "Well, we're going up. You know, I'm going to get ready." And I'm laying in bed, and, you know...
Isn't that like the scene with Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy in Cocoon?
Yeah, that's exactly the
scene. You know the scene I'm talking about?
Yes, I do, and that's exactly the scene. Well, I'm just laying
there. Where you're sitting on your Ricky and Lucy bed.
That's right. I'm just waiting.
It's a great older person sex scene if you've never seen that movie.
So she'll say, I'll be right in. And then I don't put the move on her, but I'm thinking to myself, she's going to come in here any second.
Right.
I'm going to be ready. So I read. Then I read for a while, and I go, oh, Jesus Christ, I read for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Turn on TV, mm-hmm. Law and Order. Have you seen this one? No, I've not seen this one. I'll watch this one. Just wait. 11 o'clock. News. Where the hell is she? A lot of times, it's like I just give up.
Yeah. Do you ever think of freeing yourself of the shackles of the boudoir? And seeking her out and taking her in a portion of the home.
But she's always...
Didn't you say the closet was one of your favorites one time?
Oh, the closet?
Years ago.
Walk in.
It was roughed in when our house was being built.
Right.
We did
right.
it in the closet, the roughed in closet.
I still remember that story.
But, you know, I go in, she's doing stuff. It's not like she's just laying there waiting for me to say, like a Harlequin novel, and I'm freaking Fabio going, darling, come into our bed of love. I mean, I go in there and she's... folding laundry or pissed off at the computer or
right,
talking on the
right.
telephone. She's just doing whatever she's doing, or she's on the internet, whatever she's doing. So it's highly unusual that she says to me, your schedule, when we get home. So I know right away, okay, she's taking the blue pill.
Hmm.
So we get home, and let me just say, as always, a testament to my wonderful wife, it was a home run for me. It was an absolute... It was an out-of-the-park home run.
Did she express any improved sensitivity?
She said to me when we got done, she said, I took a Viagra before we went to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I know you did. Mm-hmm. She said, I didn't know if you knew. I said, and? She said, nothing.
Okay, that's what we were all waiting for.
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing at all, huh?
Nothing.
Oh, boy.
Nothing. So,
disappoint you?
Yeah, it does a little bit, but it's harder for it to take effect.
Dr. Phil?
Just one of those, of that 50 milligram size, just before eating dinner, and then to put a full stomach on top of that. It may take a couple hours for that to kick in, if it does at all, even, because that's a low dose.
Well, she did have a couple of hours, because we had an excruciatingly long dinner, of which I'll tell you about in a second.
I know you're not a doctor. You play one on TV, but Buzz, I mean, if you were speaking to the average woman who might want to spice things up by eating a few of those, so what would be your dosage?
If you're going to have food, have two. Do 100 milligrams, if you're going to have food.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is not a professional.
He's on an empty or stomach.
This research, Buzz, is based on...
Oh, just a guess on my part.
How many do you take when you want to have fun?
For recreational purposes,
I know, Buzz,
one.
I know you're very potent.
Just one.
How many do you grind into your wife's oatmeal in the morning?
I never. I don't know if she's tried it or not. I've forgotten whether she's tried it or not.
So you're offering up an expert opinion on women taking Viagra when your wife hasn't even taken Viagra.
I don't think it made a huge difference, but she was like born with Viagra
and you've never
in her bloodstream,
right?
So...
You've never taken one?
No, negative.
Yeah. Scares me.
It's really more for men than it is for women.
But it scares me because it's all like vascular, right? It's like your ticker and
increases your blood circulation. It can actually be helpful to someone with a heart problem.
See, I would think I'd take one and my heart would explode.
No, not at all.
They could come and go at the same time.
Absolutely. It's scary. It's scary. I wouldn't take one.
So what really happened on Saturday before all of this sex stuff, this would be a good place to do a commercial. This would be a real good place to do a commercial.
Yeah, here we are talking about sex again. I love it.
We're home.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, and hey, listen, we're here. We're braving the elements.
Yeah.
I want you to know.
We can talk about sex if we want. So it's terrible outside.
Who's your modern-day American hero now? I know you might be listening to us at one of the various exotic locales that we're in across America, somewhere like Bakersfield, California. Incidentally, God's little slice of heaven, Bakersfield.
Yes.
You might be listening there, or maybe you're listening in... Oh, how delightful it is in Iowa City, Iowa.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And even for those of you who live in tropical, wonderful Buffalo, and God, how we wish you were there. You have no idea how awful it is here, right here in Washington, D.C.
This is like the North Pole.
Lesser men wouldn't be here.
If you get a chance, turn on the Weather Channel, because the Weather Channel still has some dick standing in front of the Capitol live where nothing's happened.
Right. Right.
Where we got 4 inches of snow, and now
Damn it. Now
we got a little drizzle.
I am so... All right, you know what? From now on, weekends, I'm bringing a notebook. I'm bringing a notebook because when I watch TV and I saw this dick reporter that was out doing the super hype thing with just ramping everybody up, and I was going to write his name down, and I forgot. I think it was with Channel 7. He was with Channel 7, and he was just the worst.
It wasn't just Doug,
a panic monster.
It wasn't Doug Hill, was it? Because they got a new commercial on Channel 7 that cracks my ass
off. The gist of the story was this. He was going out at apparently hardware stores and some of the Home Depots. People weren't panicking. And the reporter was incredulous. He couldn't believe. Well, I walked over to this shop owner who said, he's not selling snow shovels.
I would
ass.
I'd like to make a nomination. Maybe we could give him a wrench and give him, like, the Golden Tool Award.
Yeah.
But Tony Pan on our CBS affiliate, Channel 9.
Rob
he
and
is
I,
plenty useless.
Rob and I hate this tool.
And wasn't Tony Panati?
He was up in Baltimore, I think.
Was he really?
I think in Baltimore,
sounds
he
right.
Might have been Tony Panati.
Hey, listen, why would you
don't
do that?
Don't escape from your past.
Are you ashamed of being a WOP? There's nothing wrong with that.
Panati.
I'm adopted, and yes. I've been told
you've considered
that
yourself a WOP for a long time.
I believe in myself.
I'm proud of being a Mick.
That I am. So the guy on Channel 9... And Pan, yeah, Tony Pan. Here in D.C., they all go into the different hype modes with the weather. The guy on Channel 9, actually this tool, Tony Pan, got it the closest. He said...
I want to be corrected if I'm wrong about that.
When everybody was panicking,
he
said 2 to 4 inches.
Okay.
Then on Channel 5, Clay Humphreys said 5 to 8 inches, and then... Brian Vaccaro or Brian
Brenda Vaccaro
Brian Vandergand.
Isn't it Clay Anderson? It used to be Andrew Humphrey.
I don't know. They're interchangeable.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, you had three different forecasts from three different stations, and the commercial that made me laugh the most is this Chris Owens number 858. He can. I was talking about it with one of the guys that works here today.
Chris.
Hey, Chris. It's Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey. That Doug Hill promo on Channel 7, the weather promo, what is the line that they use? Let me just set this up by saying it's shot after shot of a TV weatherman staring at Super Doppler, and all of the looks have him looking very scholarly.
Studious.
He's got his glasses down on the bridge of his nose, and he's
professorial.
He's scrambling to write down the details. And what is it that they say in the commercial, Chris?
Oh, what does it say? It says...
Come on, it was something like he's so close to...
Yeah, Doug Hill. He's so... If he were any closer, he'd be in the storm.
I like that.
How jive is that?
Oh, no, my God.
That's great jive.
Hey, thank you, Chris.
All right.
Thanks, dude.
If you were any closer, he'd be in the storm. He'd be in the clouds.
For those of you listening around the country, this is the promo that they're running on the TV station here.
Right.
After we've just received 4 inches tops of snow.
Yeah, we got 4 inches of snow. I mean, it's really hard to believe. It's 4 inches of snow, and from Thursday through Sunday, through Monday morning... This has been the number one story.
And now
they're going, and it ain't over yet. Ooh.
Don, you said they were leading with it last Thursday, and as a matter of fact, the coming storm.
That's right. Beware today.
I'm going to give them a break on the ice because I listen to the traffic reports, and the fact is you've got idiots that are out there flipping over because they don't prepare.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, it's just this panic mode. It's amazing.
Although I got a guy who says he can get all of this weather stuff straight. Chad.
Hey, Mike.
Chad,
how are you doing, sir? Hey, I know you don't like truck drivers, and I'm one, but I got the situation straight on your weatherman. Tony Pan is like a little short, tan-looking guy. Like, he almost looks like he's Mexican. You're thinking of Tony Pagnotti.
Okay, I am thinking of Tony Pagnotti. Is that another guy?
Yeah, that's another guy, and he is a big fat wop.
Well, this guy Tony Pan though
Tony
looks
Pan
like
Tony Pan is a big guy.
Tony Pan looks like a big fat wall.
See, I think Tony Pan and Tony Pagnotti are the same people.
No, Tony Pagnotti is a big Italian guy.
Isn't Tony Pan? Didn't he used to work in Baltimore?
Yes, he did.
And I think he worked in Baltimore as Tony Pagnotti.
I think he worked.
I might be wrong.
Too. Either 2 or 11, but I'm telling you, this guy is a. Well, I'll say it. He's somehow related to the mob.
Right here.
He's all mobbed up.
Black hair. He's got the jet black hair, the nice tan, and he's a short guy, man.
Second
he's
time this guy's mentioned tan, I think he's hot for him.
And the guy we're talking about on Channel 9, unless they have him standing on a box.
All right, here's my main question. Very simple. I'll simplify. Is Tony Pan, in fact, Tony Pagnotti?
No. They're two different people.
Okay.
Thank you.
You would go ahead and say something like that, Mike, to a truck driver like that, because we don't
I'll
like DJs either.
No, listen. Hey, and how dare you, sir? Who stands up for the truckers on the show? I do.
Don, I'm the guy that saw you on the way home from the ocean over the summer.
I do.
I'm the guy that saw you on the rainy body ocean over the summer. Eating a big box of English's fried chicken.
Mike, if you're eating it, if you're using it, if you're wearing it, if touching it, you received it via a truck.
Via a truck. And, you know, hey, it is kind of icy out there. What are you doing on the phone? Get out there and start endangering people.
Right. Trying to hurt somebody now.
See you later. Bye. Bye-bye. Oh, and that reminds me of my brother, who's a truck driver, called me today, and perhaps we'll...
One of the safe ones.
call me him in a second. We got a break. I got to tell you about this dinner on Saturday. Lots of show to get to. My God, man, it's an ice emergency.
It is. An ice emergency could have a quarter inch.
Hello, Dan in Baltimore. Dan.
Tony Pagnotti and Tony Penn are two different guys.
Okay,
Tony
good.
Pagnotti's a little older.
All right, thank you. Thank you for clearing that up for me. I appreciate it.
But do you think Tony Penn looks like a big wop?
Yeah, they both do.
I'm sorry, I apologize to Tony Pagnotti for thinking he was Tony Pan.
We really should get in touch with his brother Peter.
Peter Pan.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's a new year, a time for you to get a new wireless company. Switch to Singular. Take advantage of the amazing deals Singular is offering right now.
You'll be delighted with Singular's rollover minutes.
Only Singular has rollover. Only Singular lets you keep your number and your unused anytime minutes.
Sign up for Family Talk and Singular will give you 500 bonus rollover minutes to share. Add a line for $9.99 per line per month on select plans starting at just $39.99 a month.
I've just realized the next line of copy doesn't have Singular.
I know, it's a shame, but you put it in there and I'm glad.
Nationwide long distance included. How about that? How you doing?
Singular has the newest phones for the new year, like the Motorola V400. It's only $149.99 after a $50 mail-in rebate. Got the building camera.
Singular. New year, new wireless company, same script. Singular. Good on the Singular wireless store.
Certain restrictions apply. See any Singular wireless store for details.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bolivian tree lizard?
Mm-hmm. It's a vicious oviraptor. It feasts on bird eggs and lays its own eggs in the nest. The unsuspecting mother bird cares for them until the babies hatch and devour her, too.
What a chump.
It's already wiped out the dodo, the cuckoo, and the nay-nay, and it has nasty plans for the booby, the titmouse, the woodcock, and the titpecker.
How vile!
The Don and Mike Show! Are they strong? Listen, bud, they've got radioactive blood. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Listen, here's the deal with the weekend. You know, I found out that my wife's plan was really just the Viagra thing. That's what you were talking about.
Her plan was to seduce you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and, you know, she got her wish.
Hello!
And she can anytime she wants to, but no big deal. But we were at dinner. Where that's exactly the moment I realized the plot that was unfolding.
So you could tell by her behavior that she had ingested the magic pill.
It was like a placebo, though, because... As it turns out, it did nothing for her.
Right.
And once again, as a lover, I was unable to help her achieve.
Well, as Buzz said, if she ups the dosage.
Well, yeah. You know, like maybe 100 of them. Because I'm telling you, one...
Well, didn't she get it from Buzz? Pistols, yes. Yeah. Yes, she did.
Yeah, so Buzz, I need 99 more, I guess.
You got it.
We were at this restaurant, a very nice restaurant. Not extremely fancy, just nice. Uh-huh. A nice Italian restaurant.
All right.
And there was...
It was the Olive Garden. It was lovely.
Hey, Mike, I know you love ranking on it.
Yeah.
But can I tell you something?
Yes.
That endless salad and soup thing
And the breadsticks.
And breadsticks.
All the breadsticks you want.
All you.
Well, your family.
All you want.
All you want.
So, we're at this place, and we're in the dining room area. They've got a branch out into three dining room areas, and there are only four couples in this area. Hmm. And we're not sitting directly by the couples, but we're within, 50 yards of each of them. And as the dinner is progressing...
50 yards?
Or
Jesus Christ, that's a big restaurant.
Okay, maybe 20 yards.
All right.
Maybe 20 yards.
Okay.
But not so close enough that we could lean over and touch them. I mean, it was a big room that had four couples. What are you doing?
We need more water over here!
Rob, I'm telling you, you wanted to say something to one of the people at the other tables. That's what it was. I don't want to say this restaurant is not having...
So you could carry on a conversation loudly and not worry about people eavesdropping.
Correct.
Ah. Okay.
But there are four couples placed throughout this room, through this dining room. Mm-hmm. And at one point during the evening, I'm not sure where.
This dining stadium that you're in.
This restaurant calls in a guy to sing.
Oh,
and
I hope he had a PA system.
Didn't need it because he went table to table.
Ah. Okay.
Table to table.
Did he have some sort of... He had some sort of golf cart that he was going. I'm joking. I'm sorry. Continue. I'm just having fun.
I know you are. And that's why you're here. So have fun.
Okay. Come sing in the dining arena. That was Rob. All right. Go ahead.
Anyway. Okay. The tables were not exactly, 50 yards apart.
Right,
but
right.
It was roomy. There was distance between.
And a guy singing table to table.
A big Russian guy. A big, I don't want to say fat,
mm-hmm.
but big boned.
Burly?
Yeah, but soft, flabby, burly.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Comes in and he's got the Russian outfit on, which is just that outfit that says, the evil empire,
uh-huh.
And he has a guitar.
The uniform.
Now what? Now,
Rob
keeps writing.
We need
jokes.
More Monicotti in the Coliseum.
So the guy comes over to the first table,
uh-huh.
And we notice him, and he starts conversing with the people. Now, we can't hear everything they're saying because they're so far apart.
Right, right.
So far away.
Okay.
But we do hear, like, and we hear, and the next thing you know, the guy's on his guitar and he's doing his.
Very romantic.
Yes, and the guy, these songs are 3 to 5 minutes long.
Oh.
And while the guy is playing the song, the couple that's having the dinner is obligated to put down their utensils and stare at the guy.
Of course they are.
Yeah. So, this was the first table.
Mm-hmm.
They get to the second table. This is where we had little fun with it before it turned ugly for us.
Well, he came all the way out from the kitchen, and that's probably about a 2-mile hike.
So he's at the second table. Now we see that there's a couple about our age, not as well adjusted, I would say, as my wife and I.
Uh-oh.
That they may be on that particular night, we're coming in off a fight or had a dispute.
Uh-oh.
Because
noticeably unhappy couple.
Well, a lot of silence. I mean, and you notice that when you're in a restaurant, there's only three other couples sitting in the whole restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You notice when you're the only two that are talking.
Yes.
That the other people are just kind of sitting there. Rob, I did not watch them with binoculars. They were not that far away. Okay?
Jesus. It's a tough room, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Anywho, the guy sings to the next couple. Same deal, walks over.
Is it any better received? Or?
Well, here's the thing. While he's singing, you can tell the guy's uncomfortable with this. And the woman is loving it. The woman is looking the guy right in the eyes as he's singing just this badly awful song. And then he says, thank you. Would you like another? And the woman says, oh, yes, I would. And the husband, now speaking loud enough so that we can hear the whole conversation, says, no. And she says, oh, yes, please sing again. And the guy goes, ah, for a lovely lady, there's nothing I would not do.
For you, anything familiar at all? Or
no, he's speaking
foreign language?
He is singing in Russian.
Uh-huh.
He is singing Russian love songs. But not even that well. The guy, when he starts the second song, the husband gets up, doesn't say anything, puts his napkin down, and leaves. Now,
wow.
It turns out he's not leaving for good. He's just going to the bathroom.
Of course.
But
he's making a statement when he gets up and he leaves.
Right, so he leaves.
Like, okay, I said no, she said yes, you're going to sing to her.
Now the guy, the Russian guy, who's the singer, he's seen this, but he's a pro. He's still playing his bad guitar and doing his
right.
song. And the girl, and all of the other people in the restaurant, there's a few of us.
Young couple, old couple, middle-aged couple?
I'd say approaching 40.
Okay,
mid to late 30s.
Uh-huh.
she could do better just from the looks of the guy. The guy was one of those real caveman type looking guys.
Okay.
Big forehead.
Right.
You know,
right.
Receding hairline. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's sitting there and she's just looking at him and he's just la 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 la. And this goes on and on and on. And finally she says, she's now clapping by herself. She goes, oh, that was so beautiful. That was so wonderful. She's doing that thing that girls do where they put their hands over their heart.
Right.
It was so, you were so great.
Was she faking it?
Yeah, I think so. And then, well, no, but she asked for the song. So then he goes to the third table. Now, by the time he goes to the third table, I said to Frida, listen, when that dude gets to our table, I'm just going to say, no thanks. And she said, well, that's rude. I said, listen, we didn't come here because the restaurant has a singer that walks around and sings. I said, and you've seen...
But you're riveted to him at the other tables. You just don't want him...
Yeah.
You don't want to be the object of everyone else's attention like you've been paying attention to.
No, it's not even that. I said to Frida, my problem with it is he's invading our privacy. If I said to him, no thanks on the singing, and then even if, and as it turns out, I did cave... at least I didn't cave in this regard. I said, when the guy stands there, you're obligated to make eye contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's at the third table singing to these other people who are just eating it up with a spoon, like it's Julio Iglesias freaking singing for him. These people are like, oh, that's wonderful. Tell us about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know. Good. And I was saying to Frida, I'm going to say when he gets over here, no thanks. And then our entrees
scram.
Our entrees came in and said, well, he wouldn't dare come over and start performing while our food was here. And
unless
then,
he wants to get his head bit off.
Then in the meantime, the guy that walked out on his wife,
mm-hmm.
he comes back.
Right.
And now this is, we cannot hear them because they are so far away.
In the Coliseum.
But we are able to watch through their body language.
Right.
As he comes back and sits down and notices...
From where you're sitting, they're just like little specks.
They're ants, Mike.
Right.
It's like I'm in an airplane.
Sure.
Looking down on it.
Far away.
That far. Right. So we see him sit down, and he has, I want to say, she defeated him. She trounced him.
Yeah.
But he came in very confident.
Mm-hmm.
He almost strutted back into the room.
Sure.
Noticed that the guy was singing at another table. Did the move with his napkin. Where before he sat down, he...
Kind of flicked it.
Flopped it.
He's an angry guy, you're
yeah,
noticing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah. He's going like that. I hit the microphone.
Takes it out.
He fluffs it out, mm-hmm. sits it on his lap, and turns and leans into her, and with a smile on his face, says something that didn't go over well with this broad.
Oh, dear.
Because she then does the lean-in, where she had been sitting back in her chair, and he was sitting back in his chair, and she... leans in. Now, at this point, Frida won't turn and look because it's obvious you're going to be turning and yeah. looking at someone.
So you don't have to turn. You're getting the whole show.
Yeah, so I'm telling her. I said, okay, now look. Now the girl's leaning in. Oh, man, is she letting him have it? Oh, Christ. And I could tell this guy lost. He put up a good fight.
Yeah.
But in the end, he lost.
Sure.
When he reached out to touch her hand and she did this, she went like that with his hand. And
brushed
they were in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Pushed his hand away, and then he did the thing where he's like, he almost made the move like he was going to get up and leave.
Right.
Where he kind of half got out of his chair, then thought about it, and sat back down in his chair.
Boy, this is a horrible night they're
having. And she sat there, and she just gave him the evil eye. Meanwhile, while this is going on, the guy's getting done at the table next to us, and I said to Frida, if he comes over here, I swear I am going to say no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. She said, don't. It's incredibly rude. I said, I can't look at the guy. If I look at the guy, I'm going to laugh.
Can't you just like raise your hand? It can be nonverbal and go, no thank you.
Right. No. I mean, in this situation, it wasn't.
Really? If your food's just arrived?
It didn't matter to this dude.
No, it wouldn't to me.
I'm telling you, it didn't matter to this dude.
Wow.
So he comes over, and of course he looks at my wife first.
That would get Buzz really angry.
He does.
Yeah.
He doesn't look at me. He looks at Frida.
He comes over with a stroller. Forget about it.
Oh.
Keep in mind, he's a Russian guy.
Anything strolling, Rob, you know? Stroller, strolling minstrel.
That's right, the whole baby.
Anything that strolls.
Right. He comes over and looks right at her and says, how are you doing? And before I can say, we'll pass on the song.
Beat it, fat boy.
He says, would you like to hear something? She says, and now I'm not even looking at him yet. I'm still looking just at Frida. She says, I'd love to hear something. And then I just kept looking at Frida and laughing.
He probably gets that all the time, that the husbands don't want to...
I said, go ahead, pick something, darling. What would you like? And she said, do you know anything Spanish? And the guy looked and he said, I am from Russia. And she said, do you know any Spanish guitar? Because I understand what she was trying to do. She was trying to get him just to play the guitar but not sing.
Uh-huh.
So, like, we could actually just have a regular dinner. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the guy sings...
Yeah. Cool. And then suddenly, from the back of the stadium, 70 dancers come out.
Ricky Martin.
And it's the best feel you've ever had.
You know, the guy says, no, I do not know. I do a Spanish song, but I think I may know a Spanish song. And I said, well, go ahead for this. Free to go for this. And meanwhile, she's giving me the look like, now she's realized she doesn't want the guy to sing.
Yeah.
She's looking at me and she goes, I don't know. And she's got the big phony smile on her face. Mm-hmm. What do you think, darling? And I looked back and said, whatever you think. Now, I'm not looking at the guy at all. The guy said, I have something for you. And then it was like pseudo-Russian, but maybe Spanish-influenced. Who knows what the hell the guy was singing. I didn't look at him. I just looked at my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I just laughed.
You just stare like...
The entire 3.5 minutes of song, while she
did
was...
Did he smell offensive?
No. Right. While she was, maybe a little.
Yeah.
He was Russian.
Tough moving from table to table.
So
it's covering a lot of ground.
While she's having to make direct eye contact with him, because that's the way he plays the game. I mean, it's rude if you don't make eye contact with
him. Who was the celebrity he most resembled?
Oh, God damn.
You said he was big, burly, but he was doughy.
A character,
like a big Russian.
Would
he look like that? Well, you don't watch 6 Feet Under.
It would have to be a character actor. I mean, okay. he would be someone that would not immediately be recognizable, but
right.
You could picture in a movie as being a big, dumb Russian guy.
Okay.
So he's singing. He's just looking at her. And I can't explain to you how inscribably delicious this was that... God, that was a faggy thing to say.
You mean indescribably delicious?
Yes.
Right. The candy slogan.
And it is... Because... I'm looking at this going, he's singing to you.
So you didn't have to deal with any eye contact.
I didn't look at him. Mm-hmm. And while he's singing to her, and while she's looking at him and attempting to eat her meal and smile, I'm laughing and saying, do you like the song? It was a good idea to have this guy come sing for us. Hey, I think he kind of likes you. And she can't say anything to me because she's caught in this thing of making
right,
eye contact.
Did he go for two?
And this is where she realized that she'd been beaten.
Mm-hmm.
The guy said when he got done, my wife
applauded.
Did a little of this. I didn't,
Aaron.
You know, just because I was not a part of this.
Didn't ask for it.
And he said... Now, would you like another song? And she could not have been faster to say, no, thank you. That would be it. You know, my tip just to this restaurant and to any restaurants, you know, don't provide entertainment table by table unless you're telling somebody up front that you're going to be getting entertainment.
Right.
Is that what you had planned for your restaurant, Mike? Table?
I was booking leprechauns.
Table to table.
I was going to hire little
well,
people.
Well, that's different. Hello, Don and Mike Show. John, hello.
I'm just wondering if you tipped him or anybody else in the room tipped him.
Hell no.
Nobody at all?
No.
That would seem more rude than saying no.
No.
Listen, I think the tipping of the wandering minstrel is not... Because it's not an easy tip.
It wasn't.
Reach up and reach into his... Unless he pulls his leg up.
And it's not...
His leg up.
It's not something that we asked for.
Well, you know who would have tipped him? Jack Cassidy.
What a lovely little yarn that was in song. Here's your dollar for your garter.
Because I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy, what a lovely song. What a lovely Russian melody.
So that was, and that actually worked out quite well.
I know the restaurant you went to. We can't mention it here, but I mean, I know the restaurant you went to.
You do know?
Yeah, I do. It's a famous place.
No, it's not.
It isn't?
No, it's not the one you think it is.
Isn't it that
thing? No, it's not.
It isn't?
No, it's not. God, that would not happen at that restaurant.
I just think, I think like logistical and where you live and all
no,
that.
No, absolutely
I was
not.
Trying to be really clever.
Italian place called the Colosseum.
Yeah. No, Mike, no. Come on. Think about it, Columbo. There's more than one restaurant out by where I live.
Yeah.
There's more than one.
You should be able to figure it out, Mike. It's the only Italian restaurant that covers six city blocks.
We're talking big.
You can't miss it from the highway.
Fantastic. Yeah. What's great is normally you have to go down to like restaurants next to National Airport to watch the planes land. But in this place, you can actually watch them land inside. Uh-huh. We're talking big.
We're talking big. This is a big restaurant.
It's large.
Are you both having fun? You? Rob, you having fun? Mike, you having fun?
I am, but now I'm still sleuthing to try to figure out the restaurant.
No, keep sleuthing.
All right, let me ask you a question. How close to, and we can't mention it on the air, how close to your house as far as time was?
Oh, 5,000 miles away. eight hours away.
I know what you're trying to do.
The clever thing is it doesn't really have a name, just five numbers, because it's its own zip code.
It's big.
It's a big place.
Big place for the big Russian. Big Russian.
You're making me do this.
What?
You're going to make me call her to back me up.
What, that there was a lot of space between the tables?
Yes.
Call a witness.
Yeah.
There you go. Have some fun.
I was just, it started out when you said 50 yards, that's half a football field.
Hello.
Baby.
Yes, my sweet pea.
The other people in the restaurant?
Yes.
They were seated, especially the first couple. How far away from us were they?
The first couple? I don't know which one you're talking about.
The first couple that the guy sang to.
Oh, one was sitting on a bench? Is that over?
I don't remember.
By the wall?
Yes, all the way against the wall.
All the way to the wall. They were probably, I don't know, 10 feet or, no, it had to be more than that because you get more than five. So 15 feet, you know. Not that terribly far.
Was your view ever obstructed by the rigid airship they store in the restaurant?
Would you say in that restaurant that we were at that had the singing waiter that the couples were spread far apart in a large room?
No. We were all clumped together by the fireplace.
Was the Jumbotron in the center of the restaurant dining room?
There was no Jumbotron unless there was a picture of fire on it.
The restaurant certainly was not crowded.
Oh, no, it wasn't. There were only about five couples. And
it's a big place?
Rob, can I have a pen? You've been there before.
Okay.
Yes, it is a very big place.
All right.
You all have been there.
Well, I don't remember, and we can't say. Could you just say it's a big place if it was?
It's the place we had the Christmas party at 2 years ago.
All right.
Does everybody remember the place we had the Christmas party at 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that one?
No.
It's a different room.
Mike, I just told you. It's the place where the Christmas party.
That's an Italian place.
Right. What the hell are they doing with a Russian there?
Didn't I say?
What the hell kind of trick is that?
I said at the beginning of this diatribe that it was an Italian place.
Well, you know what? The thing is, they must have brought the Russian in when they expanded.
Well,
and they made it bigger.
The man was a musician. It didn't matter.
He was Russian. He was Russian, though.
I asked him to play Spanish guitar, and he did.
Well, was he Russian?
Yes.
Frida?
You
called her.
What? I only called her to get some verification that the people. It wasn't like Mike eating at the. What's that? Oh, man, what's that truck stop place you love?
Old Country Buffet.
Yeah. It wasn't seating like at the Old Country Buffet.
It was
right.
A nice, quiet restaurant with a.
Well, if it's the place where we had. I know the place.
Table. God, I can't even. You know, this is. I'm terribly defeated in this entire argument. I can't even come up with the proper retort. You know, how can I not have Family Country Buffet right here?
Old Country Buffet.
At my head right there. It is the perfect comeback for Mike and restaurants.
Old Country Buffet.
Old Country Buffet. I'm sure the seating was not as luxurious and not as spread out as Old Country Buffet.
Oh, see, I bet you. I would say if we were wagering, the Old Country Buffet on sheer floor space would blow that restaurant you were in out of the water.
They couldn't get a singer.
It probably would, but there were only about five couples, and they were around the fireplace, so we were all in one part of the dining room. It was a bigger dining
room. That's a nice restaurant.
Utilizing the whole dining room.
And didn't that singing suck? Wasn't that the worst, honey? I told you.
No, it was pleasant, but we didn't request it.
As long as you're here, just one thing. Why exactly were you so opposed to me just saying to the guy when he came over, no thanks?
Because that's rude. Because it's rude. I mean, I object to anything you do that's rude, I'm going to object.
So some, a guy comes over while we're having dinner, pulls out his pants, starts working his man. That's okay?
That would be rude. And I would say to you, honey, put your man away. That's rude.
That would be a gimmick.
No, but he wasn't doing anything. You were going to be the one to be rude, not him.
All right, darling.
Whatever. Love you.
Whatever.
All right. I mean, I'm getting killed here by my pals on this for my description of this. So I'm gonna have to let it go.
Why?
They don't believe me that the restaurant was big.
Yeah. Why would they believe you?
What?
Why wouldn't they believe you? You never.
I believe you. The restaurant was big. I don't believe you that the guy was a Russian now.
Yeah, he was.
Mike's busting my ball. All right, darling. I said that the Viagra was not a success.
No, it was there was no difference.
Sorry to hear that.
No difference.
I was very disappointed.
Still have the Cialis? The other brand?
No, I don't know where that one is.
Ah, the hell is that? That's a competing brand now.
Oh, okay.
I give her one of each.
I got to fly. I'll see you later.
I don't think they work on me. I think I'm immune.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I would second that testimony.
Hey, goodbye, boo.
All right, goodbye. Bye-bye.
Well, it makes perfect sense to me now if we can tie the whole thing up.
Okay, go ahead.
The reason that the Viagra didn't kick in was because it wasn't the fact that she ate, it was the fact she took them, and then she had that long walk to the exit.
Never mind. You know, I had a story, Mike, about what I thought was interesting, a guy singing from table to table.
I understand. And I know the restaurant you're talking about, and I think they're high for bringing a Russian guy in to sing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, silly. Enough of that. When we come back, hey, just for you, maybe the incest letters.
Great.
Okay. I know you feel,
I'm being punished.
No, you're not. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
A kind word need not cost much. Half a loaf of bread and an empty cup. I found myself two friends, Don and Mike.
Right. Well, I'll call my brother maybe later in the show. I was just telling Mike and the guys, the good thing about my brother is there's no expiration date on him.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. Yeah.
When you're on unemployment in Wisconsin and your Jag is broke...
Uh-huh. Oh, dear. You're really not going anywhere physically.
Yeah. Right.
He's available.
His girlfriend took the blazer and went to work today. Had the whole discussion with him.
He scared me for a second there. I thought you were going to say his girlfriend took the blazer and split.
Oh, no. Just went to her job.
Oh, good. Okay.
Went to her job.
Last time we talked to him, he was employed, I thought.
He was just about to get laid off. It was the time of year
that
he was going to get laid off over the wintertime, go back to work in the springtime.
Right.
So there's your tax dollars at work. Call it if I get a chance. Want to mention, we're going to be at the Super Bowl Friday doing the show XXVIII from Houston. Scheduled to join us Boomer Esiason and Marv Albert. Jim Gray, John Riggins, and, of course, the most beautiful woman on network television, Nancy James.
Our old friend Nancy James.
All of those people are scheduled to be on the show on Friday when we broadcast live from Houston. And you can win the ultimate big game party six-pack, a table for six in the ESPN Zone screening room, 16-foot TV to watch the Super Bowl, dinner buffet and ESPN Zone game cards.
Hmm.
Join Rob Spiewak. It's a cheery gig, Rob.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
You're actually doing a personal appearance during the Super Bowl.
Well, I think that'll really get the people. Join Rob from
5 till 7 as he hosts a big game party at the ESPN Zone in D.C.
Rob, no matter how crowded it is down there for the big game, because I think restaurants and bars fill up for the Super Bowl, just you say to yourself, it's all you.
I know it.
Rob, remind yourself of that.
He'll be going from table to table singing with a guitar.
Don't feel bad about working on the Super Bowl, Rob. I was telling somebody, I know who I was telling, it was Rob or somebody, or Rob. Mm-hmm. My worst moment in radio, you know, maybe this wasn't you, it was somebody else for a change, was way back, when was the first time that the Broncos played the Cowboys. Do you remember how long ago that was, like 1978 or 79?
Late 70s.
In the Super Bowl when Craig Morton was the quarterback for Denver?
Long time ago. Yeah.
All right, well, I had been fired from a bunch of jobs in radio and was just barely hanging on working part-time at three or four different stations. And, of course, no one wants to work on Super Bowl Sunday. So I was so depressed going to work that day because I think kickoff of the Super Bowl was at back in that time, like 5:30.
And then even earlier, right? I was talking to somebody about that even earlier in the old days, right?
Yeah.
There was a 1 o'clock kickoff one time.
Yeah, but at this point, they moved it back to, I don't know, sometime late in the afternoon, 4, 5, 6. All I know is, whatever the time the kickoff is, it's the time I'm on. And I'm on WCAO in Baltimore, which even back then was a POS AM station.
But not a bad station, though.
But really, I had the feeling it was just the lowest.
Yeah.
Just sitting there going, you know, Jesus Christ, I can't get a job in radio. I'm not at a Super Bowl party. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the air during the Super Bowl when I know nobody's looking. I can open the microphone and just say, F you, and no one would hear it.
I can't imagine the feeling of no one listening more than being on at that particular time.
Yeah. And I've worked all the, I mean, I'm sure you have too, Mike, but I've worked all the holidays. I've worked Christmas Eve, I've worked Christmas Day, I've worked New Year's Eve, I've worked New Year's Day.
I've worked Christmas Eve and I've worked Christmas Day, and but not a lot of Sundays. I worked loads of Saturdays, but that must be a horrible feeling to do that.
Sunday night is the worst time slot in radio to begin with, but that was just the worst.
God, that is depressing.
So anyway, that's my Super Bowl memory. We'll be at Super Bowl 38. That'll be a Friday live from Houston.
I'll see, things have improved.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you, Buzz. Yeah. Thank you very much.
On the bright side.
But, Mike, how are we going to handle this news? Barbara Walters is moving on as host of 2020.
No! No, God, no. Tell me it's not true.
Yeah.
Well, there goes the sex appeal.
yeah. I do love, I was doing a bunch of research on this, and I found somebody that actually described the way that she does her interviews. Barbara Walters' interviews are often done with soft focus cameras and feature teary subjects.
Yes.
When you watch her interview someone, it's like on Star Trek when they used to put Vaseline on the lens, and I'm talking the real Star Trek, the bad one was Shatner, where they would put the Vaseline on the lens.
Right.
If there was an alien woman that they wanted to appear as especially sexual.
Right. Used to be a lady on The Daily Show. She's moved on to other things now. And she used to do a parody of it, and she would have not only the Vaseline.
Oh, and all the flowers.
But the flowers would be in the back of her. It was hysterical.
They also used to do that in the last season of Moonlighting. It was hard to get a crisp image of Sybil Shepherd.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I'm glad to know that this is how, at least in some manner of media, she's being remembered. Now, of course, it's not like she's quitting this job today.
No.
She's going to string this out until September.
Oh, good.
Because, you know, she means so very much. She hosts with that guy, John Stossel, who is just a...
Oh, is he the tool of tools? Did you watch him over the weekend by any chance when he jumped into the Hudson River?
Yeah.
To prove that it wasn't dirty, like he's the bravest man in the world.
All the things that they say aren't true that can really kill you, or all the things that you think can kill you that really can't. Like, you know, for instance, being cold doesn't give you a cold.
Right.
Well, of course, Dick, of course. But try standing outside in freezing temperature wearing no coat for 3 or 4 hours.
Yes, it will lower your immune system. Your resistance will be down. And I would have liked to say, I'm John Stossel. This rumor about having your head attached to your body, it's just not true.
So anyway,
cut my head off.
They're making a big deal of it. They're making a bigger deal of this than when Hugh Down Syndrome quit the very same show. Yeah. Remember that great name we had for him?
Hugh Down Syndrome.
Anyway, she's leaving, but she's not going to leave until September, and thank God she's still...
Does that mean Stossel's going to take over?
There is no word yet on who her new co-host will be, but Stossel will be the man.
Charles Stossel. Oh, that was a slip. I'm making myself laugh now. What's it, John Stossel?
No, it's Charlie Stossel.
Charlie Stossel at ABC. The Stossel brothers will do the show. Charles Stossel.
Is he still at Oldies 100?
I think Rob stepped out of the room.
That's too bad.
Stossel is the kind of kid that used to rat on you in school. He has it's written all over his face. He looks like that kind of guy.
Mike, here's the deal with Ben Affleck, and we don't have to turn on the Ben Affleck machine today, Robbie. To get
saw her globes at the Globes last night.
Getting on and going on in his mind, but she left him, you know, or he left her, however it is, with J Lo and Ben Affleck. Well, he's doing what I thought he'd do a long time ago. He's very busy writing a screenplay with Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be not exactly Good Will Hunting, but he says it's going to be along the same lines as Good Will Hunting. So he's going to that well one more time with Matt Damon.
Well, as long as they follow the Good Will Hunting formula and make sure that it's lots of Damon and not lots of Affleck, I think the movie will be a hit.
And I got a great example of why Ben Affleck is just lucky and not really good, but not so bad that you say, oh, I can't stand to see this guy in a movie.
Right.
Over the weekend, I was just flipping around, and I saw on one of the channels, The Sum of All Fears.
Okay.
The Tom Clancy book, that
right.
Morgan Freeman. Ben Affleck in it plays...
Jack Ryan.
The same guy that Harrison Ford played
right.
and Alec Baldwin played.
Right.
He is so piss poor in this movie.
Right.
He's so unbelievable that at some point, I actually find myself feeling bad for him.
Well, he's miscast.
Because you look at him and you think... Maybe he's not a bad guy. Maybe he's just a dumb guy. He's one of those guys, you know, women find him attractive and men find him non-threatening. He's one of those guys. But he's just obviously in so over his head.
I agree.
With anything that he tries.
So. Well, and you stack him up against Harrison Ford, who is a legitimate movie star, and put him into that role.
Even Alec Baldwin might.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin was great. Alec Baldwin can carry that on.
Right.
You know, that, you know, fat Alec.
Hey, I'm not that fat.
No, you looked okay.
See me at the Globes.
You looked okay.
Lost a little, you know.
Everybody looked good at the Globes last night.
It's all how you wear the clothes, Mike.
You know, Alec, I got to tell you something. You know who didn't look good at the Globes last night? That guy that produced and directed, or just directed, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Yes, my God.
What's the deal with that head?
Shouldn't he be working in a comic book store somewhere?
Yes.
Really?
Don't you think he'd get about a cup of crumbs out of his beard
if
he brushed it?
Yeah, and absolutely. Did he wash that hair? That's what
no,
I want to know.
You know, I didn't even stay with the Golden Globes much last night. I do have to give Joan Rivers credit. I do like watching the Joan and Melissa show on E! Exclamation Point before these shows. And I especially like it when they pass it off to each other and she just goes, well, now let's throw it back to Mom. Hey, Mom! And they're going back and forth. Here's Joan Rivers, I S you not, opening line. The cameras come on and goes, E! Exclamation Point, we're here at the Golden Globes, and... She said, who are the two people, who's the actress that just kicked over the weekend? A famous woman who had just died.
Ann Miller.
Ann Miller died, but the good news is she died in Captain Kangaroo's pouch. And now this is
wow.
This is a joke that had nothing to do
right.
with the Golden Globes.
Right.
And when Joan Rivers said it, there was uncomfortable silence.
Oh, sure. That's funny.
And listen, I love goofing on Joan Rivers.
Evil old Joan Rivers.
And saying that, you know, her face is
a pretty unusual
back.
Line. But she does, you know, she... Stand-up comedian. She'll come up with a zinger every now and then.
I'll give her credit. I laughed loud. Just a non sequitur.
Right,
just,
exactly.
Hi, welcome to the Golden Globes.
Right.
Ann Miller dead. She died in Captain Kangaroo's pouch. And then the camera's just on her, and she goes, we're on. That's my opening joke.
And isn't it refreshing to know that somebody can make jokes like that when she's, you know, relatively close to that side of the dirt herself?
Yeah, that's
you know?
True. Absolutely. And here you go. Just as long as we're on the topic of the Golden Globes, so many categories. It seems everybody wins. You know that the whole thing, the whole Golden Globes thing, just can't be too great when your best actor in a drama is that guy from Without a Trace.
Anthony LaPaglia.
I'm not saying he's not good. I'm just saying maybe there has to be somebody better.
I really found watching the Golden Globes, and I watched a lot of it last night, I had a sense of this was a year for everything. There weren't any blockbuster movies. I mean, I guess Lord of the Rings would be a blockbuster, but it's, you know.
We saw Lost in Translation. Neither my wife or I thought it was funny. We liked Bill Murray. We walked out of that movie.
Right.
He won. Diane Keaton won for the movie with Jack Keaton. Jack Nicholson's Diane Keaton.
I liked your speech. She was funny.
And the thing, I agree.
Yeah.
The thing that I find the best about these shows is the shots of the actors, and it happens so much, it's comical, in the crowd at the Golden Globes, when they're either bored or eating or looking for a way to escape or trying to hide the fact that they're upset that they didn't win
right.
when the camera's on them. And as soon as somebody obviously says, oh, you're on camera, you get the, oh, talented. And just one time, can somebody at one of these goddamn award shows just win an award and not bring everybody involved in the production with them?
I would love, because I love award shows. I like to watch them. They're fun for me. I watch them since I was a kid. I'd love them to go back to just, you know, instead of having the shopping list mm-hmm. of schmoozing, which is really what they do when they accept it,
right.
just get a little more emotional, you know, and really mention people that are close to you. I'll tell you, I came away from the Golden Globes with only one thought, that Michael Douglas is the luckiest man in the world. Because,
yeah.
you know, not only is he getting
he's
that award.
He's a member of the Facebook Club.
Oh,
Jesus Christ, times 1,000.
He'd have to, because you saw... Down below.
He's got the turkey thing happening.
But, man, you know he saves her for the very last. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, every guy watching that, I'm just waiting for him to give the little tribute to the wife at the very end. Mm-hmm. And she
did you notice,
is just
hold on.
Smoking hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you notice this, though? And I do notice the small things. When he got up, when they gave Michael Douglas his award,
right?
He said, thank you. Never leaned over to kiss.
No, and her reaction at the end when they finally showed her, and I was waiting for it, was at very best reserved. It was not...
Dare I say it's petty jealousy?
Oh, it's a troubled
marriage.
Do
you think there's a chink in the armor?
Mm-hmm.
Does he have enough skin to bend over and kiss her? Maybe it's too tight.
Well, you know, really, you never know. Maybe the divine plan is that, you know, she's just waiting until... But I think he's going to be around for a while.
It's a race between knows? Him and Kirk.
Listen, I got a couple of things. I got a couple of things real fast.
Thank you, man.
The Sundance Film Festival this weekend, our girl Paris Hilton... She's there. You're damn right she's pretty, Rob. She somehow got into the film festival, and they were giving away stuff. And the story is that Paris Hilton went in and picked up Motorola V600 phones, 3 Xboxes, and over 50 games. She walked up to the suite with empty bags. This was a suite that she was not invited to.
Oh, right.
They were having contests and raffles and such
right.
to give away these prizes.
A lot of freestyle.
She walked in. She took the phones, the Xboxes, the games, jackets, T-shirts, scarves. She cleaned the place out. After she ran out of room in all of her bags, she started putting in her coat pockets and into her armloads all of the personal care products.
Wow.
And because she's Paris Hilton... Nobody says anything to her.
And this was not... So they were doing this... These were prizes for a raffle, or were these prizes that were being given to the partygoers?
Both.
And like one each to the partygoers?
Don't even know. All I know is the story is she walked in, had bags when she walked in, and because she's crazy Paris Hilton...
Nobody had the guts to stop
right,
her?
Right, and they've reported on it now as, oh, that nutty Paris Hilton
That's
has
right.
done it again.
Mm-hmm.
She is absolutely at it again. we were talking before the break. Dennis Miller's CNBC show comes on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard all the stuff about he's not going to take any shots at Bush. The quote from Dennis Miller is, I'm going to give him a pass. He's going to have Arnold Schwarzenegger as his first guest. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened to Dennis Miller?
Yeah.
We could spend a whole show talking about that.
I think Monday Night Football happened.
I don't get it, yeah. But Mike, there is one thing about the Dennis Miller show that I know you're going to be with me on 1,000%.
What is it?
He's going to have a monkey on.
Oh, all right. A chimp?
Dennis Miller has a monkey that he will keep on the studio. And whenever he feels like it, he's going to just tell them to release the monkey.
It'll roam free.
Yeah, but what's this giving Bush a free pass, giving anybody a free pass? And did you know this? I didn't know this the other day at the State of the Union address. You know who was there? Dennis Miller. You know whose dime he was on? W's. Guess who's been on Air Force One?
Dennis Miller. Now it's making sense.
He's appeared at a number of Bush fundraisers.
You believe that?
There's talk about him running for Senate in California as a Republican.
Ain't that something?
Are you as shocked by that news as I am?
I am,
just
not
by the
anymore,
content of his,
yeah.
of his shows and what he used
yeah.
to say?
Mike, Carrie Fisher is calling herself a fag widow.
Oh,
now, that's her words, not mine, because her husband dumped her for a man, and once again... The name Charlie Stossel will appear on this show to longtime listeners.
Not uncommon, either.
Know about what was happening with him.
Seems to happen a lot.
I know you're for Wesley Clark for president, and Here's another celebrity endorsement that I know you're going to feel great about. Ted Danson.
No, I knew that. I knew
Big
that before.
Big blockhead.
Yeah, I actually got emails from them on their website. But, you know, the nice thing about this, whoever you back as a Democrat for president, it really is kind of a crapshoot tonight. You know, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. I don't buy any of the polls. I don't know who's going to win this thing.
Finally, there is a horse. Well, Robbie.
There is one prediction that you can stick to with the Democratic election, is that no matter what happens.
The primary, you mean?
Yes, Dean will smile, and he will only smile showing his bottom teeth.
I know, he is disturbed.
Looks like a Kodak, doesn't it?
It does.
I don't know if you heard about this, that there was some guy that owned a racehorse and named it Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Because he's like nutty for the Patriots. This is one of those Super Bowl stories that comes out the week of the Super Bowl.
Right.
Anyway, they were so charming, the guy named it. Anyway, the horse lost all the races that it was in. Joe Pesci has won two horses as a race owner, and he named the horse Pesci.
Oh.
The horse's name is Pesci, and his horse is undefeated. And now he's enrolled at a Gulfstream Park on Saturday. And he wants to win the $500,000 breeders' race.
Wow.
With his horse,
Pesci.
Pesci.
Hey, Pesci!
Pesci.
Come on!
I understand he gives his horse a little pep talk, you know?
Do I amuse you? I'd get out there and win the effing race. F you!
Hey, Spider.
Come on now!
All right, let's take some phone calls here. That's what this music means. That's all I got for you. I'm on fumes right now, so you have to call 877-365-3636. Your calls, the rotating random phone scan lies straight ahead. Are you shocked? I didn't get to this. That Ashton Kutcher's movie was number one this weekend.
I really think that really...
Retards!
No, I think there's going to be a sinkhole that's going to be the entire United States.
There's the retards everywhere.
I saw that guy in the Globes last night. He looks like he got dropped when he was a kid. Yeah.
And one last in-house thing. And then your call's coming next at 877-365-3636 for the phone scan.
Uh-huh.
You know, Mike, we just went through this whole thing last week with AOL and the NFL contest and the AOL being the synergy with CBS that, you know, they got such creative minds working on our part up in New York.
That's good.
Saturday night on CBS, our parent network, we are running the Super Bowl. CBS ran the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Right.
Saturday night, they're running a very special show, your all-time favorite Super Bowl ads. And guess how the winning ad is going to be determined?
How?
You go online.
At AOL.
To AOL.
You know, it all fits together.
That's how they figure it out.
Yeah.
That's how they figure it out.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
The all-time favorite ads from the Super Bowl.
There you go.
That's old commercials.
That's how they're filling an hour. Oh, and how about Dick Clark?
Dick Clark. Hey, now, wait a minute. Dick Clark had... I think his whole head replaced, because I watched him closely at the Golden Globes last night.
And did anybody hear when
he looks awesome.
Anybody hear when Lucy Liu, or is it Lisa Ling?
Lisa Ling.
Why are they all like Lana Lane and Lois Lang? Why are all the Chinese girls named double L?
It's a conspiracy.
Did you hear when...
hey, Howard, there's your Chinaman.
Did you hear at one point they're throwing it back and forth, and Lisa Ling said, well, that's it from here with Jim Belushi. Now back to Mr. Dick.
Yes, Mr. Dick. He said it more than once.
Oh, that's cute.
Mr. Dick.
Mr. Dick.
You know, he didn't understand.
Of course not.
If he's real.
He just did that thing where he says, that Lisa Ling is unpredictable.
He looked as good as I've seen him look in a long time. He had the old man thing kind of when he's talking, you know, the mouth doesn't work. But
he looks good. Thank you, Mr. Dick. Your call. Phone scan next. Call us.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I had sex with him for about a year and a half. I liked having sex with him. He wasn't afraid of experimenting.
Damn right.
Don Geronimo.
I like men like that.
Nothing with a butt, though.
Men who give me pleasure.
Hey!
He gave me a lot of pleasure.
Bacardi Limon.
The Don and Mike Show.
Doing an adequate job. Don and Mike.
Now we try. Just wait till tomorrow. We got some of our brand new jingles in.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow on the show, We've got some jingles that we'll be playing on the network show. We've got some local jingles, and tomorrow we've also got the name jingles.
Oh, right.
We cool. all have new name jingles, and we'll hear them at some point on tomorrow's episode.
It's good.
Was that Lady J-Law?
Lady J-Law was rocking down the hallway to that. Mm-hmm. She was. I don't know what she was rocking out to, but she was kind of like doing the thing where she was punching at the air, and I'm not sure what she was doing, but it caught my eye.
Hey, Lada.
Hey, Lada.
Hey, Lada.
Quit punching the air. You might hurt yourself.
See you over at the shopping center, Lada. See you there. Hi, Joan.
How are you?
Jella. So, listen, here are our new jingles. I'm excited. I'm as giddy as a schoolgirl.
Cool.
I mean,
you
really.
You love a good jingle.
I do, and we had these cut from Jam in Dallas. You'll hear some of these on our network show. These right now we're just playing on the local show, and you probably think it's dumb I'm playing them, but I love jingles, and these are great jingles, great WLS jingles. Cool. Yeah.
That kicks ass.
Yeah. At WLS, that's a station I worked at. The greatest radio station ever.
And the best jingles.
And the best jingles. Here's another one.
My favorite right there.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one.
Dude, those kick ass.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Those are so good. God damn it. Let me hear one of those. Give me another record here. Just let me hear one of them out of a jingle.
That's how you know.
Go to cut number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Cut 5. There you go. Okay? Yeah. Give it a shot. Yeah, see, that's how it works. It's tight,
nice.
Right, it's out. It's all you need.
Yeah.
That's it. Anyway, just wait until tomorrow. Wait until tomorrow on the show. We've got name jingles for everybody.
I'm dying.
Cool.
I'm dying because I want to hear them.
We've got them for everybody.
Wow.
Anyway, your phone calls now. Here we go. On the rotating random phone scan, 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. D.C. on WJFK with the jingles, 202-432-1067. You talk, we listen. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, you bastards.
I don't have a response for that. I know you
tremendously hostile way to begin a phone.
I know.
No, I meant it in a good way.
I know you did, and I know you took fat out. So just let me say, I guess I'll take "Hey, you bastard."
Oh, there you go.
I mean, you can tell by the guy's tone. He's really not a ball buster.
I don't have an awful bad retort for this.
But remember what we said last week. What you guys said last week was. New pleasantries, new ways to open a conversation that don't even have to make sense.
We prefer that,
right.
Yeah.
You know, it could be, hello, Bastardians.
Well.
Bastardians.
Bastardians.
We'll work on that.
Or Bastardians.
Oh, yeah, right.
Maybe you're right, or maybe your original one is Bastard. B-A-S-T-U-R-D.
Anyway, what can we do for you,
I didn't know if you guys had mentioned it or not.
Mongoloid.
See, there you go. Now you're being me. No, last night on the
No, I meant mongoloid in only the nicest possible way.
I understand. Well, I appreciate that then. During the tribute that little dwarf Danny DeVito was giving last night, he called Michael Douglas Michael Landon. I don't know if you guys caught that or not.
Did you really? I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
He did catch it. I was, I was too busy looking at him. And Danny DeVito looked, is he fatter? Is
no.
he fat?
No,
he looks more elfin than normal.
I think he's shrinking. He looks shorter. When he was standing next to what's-her-name.
Sharon Stone.
Mm. I was just going to say that. Consider that. The
funny
fact
move.
That,
did you see the funny move when they brought the microphone down?
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
Think about this. That Danny DeVito standing next to Sharon Stone really looked like my Danny O'Day ventriloquist.
Yeah, he did. He was so small.
He is tiny, so and she is gigantic.
And she's holding up well.
Yeah, she's doing okay. With her brain cancer, whatever she had.
Yeah, she had a little issue, and now she looks good. She looks really good.
Oh, and last night on Sex of the City. You know, I know it's the last year we've discussed this. That, you know, they're very special. But, all right, so the one that takes her top off all the time has breast cancer.
Kim Cattrall.
And she's going to have to shave her head. But really, did her hunky boyfriend who makes his living off his lion's mane of hair really have to shave his head to show support for her?
Yes, and that show, you know, I think they fall into the category of a lot of over-awarded shows. Mm-hmm. And I always get the impression when you're looking at some of the supporting cast that they really, that they're just a little fed up with old Sarah Jessica Parker winning all those awards.
Well, those girls.
Because they get nominated against somebody like from Angels in America who just walks away with it, and they just have to sit there and smile pretty for the camera.
Those girls are the ones who gave you the best shots, especially the one who I like, who you guys don't
Kim Cattrall?
No,
Cynthia Nixon?
The one who looks like Dave Foley.
Yeah, Cynthia Nixon.
Right. So she's nominated, and she was the one, she's like, oh, yeah, well, everybody else, but, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. And then, you know, the winner is like somebody from a show on the WB.
Mary Louise Parker.
And she's like, yeah, and then they cut right to a shot of course, Sarah Jessica.
Right,
who's
right.
Just, you know, looking, and I've never thought she's that hot.
She is not.
She got a horse face.
No. Yeah, I don't think she's classically. When you see, and at the Golden Globes, the one thing I like about that award show, and believe me, it's all downhill from now on,
right.
you get everybody. You really do. You see everybody. You see everybody shoulder to shoulder, so you can compare them to each other.
Because it's the Hollywood J.O. That's the one that they all go to. And riddle me this bad.
And I know you don't like her, but I stand by my gal, man. I stand by Nicole Kidman. Who looks hot, hot.
That dress looked like a Chinese that I threw up, though.
Yeah, I didn't like the dress either.
I hate to sound
she
like
just looks
dragon.
Good. She looks good. Always.
But you know who I thought was extremely doable last night was Renee Zellweger.
You thought so?
Yeah.
I thought she looked fat.
I like her packed into that. Well, she had to gain all that weight for that dumb Bridget Jones.
But you like the squeezed-in outfit that she was in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She looked bad, but I mean, I just...
I bet she has very pink nipples.
Okay,
I mean, pink as pink can be.
Really?
How can we settle?
Pinker than baby's breath.
What do you think of J-Lo? J-Lo didn't do it for me.
No, I mean, I was trying to think of reaction, and I saw her on TV like a million times, walking in, sitting down, no reaction.
Right.
Anyway, listen, Mongo, what did you want? Is this still the guy that called us bastards, or is this another guy?
I think it might be another guy. What can we do for
Hello?
You? Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well.
I didn't know if you guys said it or not, but if you guys heard about the Julius Erving new sex tape that's out on the video net.
You are bringing us news.
This is the new one. His man looks like a baby's arm holding an apple. It is freaking humongous.
Really? And it's all over the internet?
It's all over the internet.
The great Dr. J?
Hold on one second. Give the address to Joe. Hold on a second, okay? You got an address where we can look at it?
Actually, I just heard about it from my friend, but...
Hold on. Have you seen it?
Actually, he was just describing
it. Full of it.
Goodbye.
Actually,
if there is a Dr. J sex tape...
Actually, parentheses, lie.
Bring it on. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Howdy. Hi.
Yeah, are you going to be TiVoing the new lesbian show, The L Word?
I don't think so.
It's going to be so good.
If you like Girl on Girl, I watched the first episode, and it's pretty good in that way.
Do they show any nursing?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, do they?
They do,
Then, all right, I'm there.
There's a lot there sick. For you.
That's sick?
Yeah, I just thought
you know what? I wanted to mention something to you.
Yeah.
I know it's been almost an hour now.
Do I have gravy on my face or something?
No.
Do I have wing sauce in my teeth?
No. I realized that really you're right. How ridiculous of me. The tables were not 50 yards apart in this restaurant.
You've been thinking about it the whole show?
Well,
I know you knew that. We just were having fun with it.
I know, but I was standing there taking a leak saying, well, how dumb am I that I'd say 50 yards?
50 yards is funny, though. 50 yards is really funny. Think you've been to enough, and you've been to more stadiums than I have.
It's half a football field.
You're down in the end zone and look out to midfield, and that's where the table was.
I don't exaggerate. My wife was right. The tables were 10 to 15 feet away from where we were sitting.
Right. It's just funny.
Certainly not 50 yards.
But look what we did.
I was doing the math in my head, though. 10 yards is like 3.5 feet.
Right.
Or 3.5 feet is 10 yards.
No, 3.5 feet. Three feet is a yard.
Okay, right. So I was really about 3 yards away.
Yeah, you were about, yards away as opposed to 50.
Right. When I said that they were 50.
50, all you do with the yardage is, you know, that's a great thing about America. Mm-hmm. You got that football field for reference, right?
It was more than double. More than double what I said. Anyway, that's what you probably want to. Don, what do you think about when you're standing there taking a leak during the show?
Yeah, what?
That's what I was thinking about. 50 yards, that really was dumb. I know that I exaggerate things, but...
But it wasn't exaggeration. It was just a slip of the tongue, is what I thought of.
Right.
50 yards. Yeah. Unless you know, if you were really trying to sell us on the fact that it was 50, that they were 50 yards away, then we'd have some problems.
Well, I was actually thinking about my position on it, and then picturing the people, and then thinking about a football field, like from the end zone to the middle of the... Thinking, I'm so stupid.
How did you enjoy the song?
What can we do for you? Hello, phone scan.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, that wife's, that Viagra thing's a time period thing, man. It only works for a certain amount of time. That's why it happened that way.
I did some checking, and it really doesn't work well with food and drink. That's why there are new brands, Levitra, which is what I really gave your wife, and Cialis, which apparently work better with food than Viagra does.
You gave my wife the Mike Ditka drug?
Yeah, Levitra. Uh-huh.
Right.
And Viagra.
And then there's a new one. There's a new one.
Cialis.
That they, no,
oh,
they,
no,
it's not Cialis. They sell it only in Baltimore. It's called Cifalis. Sorry.
And
I pick on Baltimore.
I knew a girl from there.
Really?
Sue Fallis. Her sister, Suppository.
Suppository. Stand next to each other on the bus.
I'd say to you, my friend, on the phone, and I'd say to Buzz, uh-huh. Really, both of you guys, do you get your nut when you have sex with your wives?
Yeah.
You personally?
Of course.
How about you, sir?
Oh, I do it all the time.
Right. What do you care about her? I mean, right? You getting your own nut?
I think it's also...
If it happens, it happens.
I mean, do you think really they should be... Is this sanctioned that this works for women, or are they just experimenting with prescription medication?
The verdict is out on it. Some doctors say it helps women. Some doctors say it doesn't help women.
I
don't know.
You know the last doctor, seriously, Buzz, that told me it's a bunch of hooey?
Who?
It's the doctor that Marshall
Dr. Bombay.
Yeah, Dr. Bombay.
Yeah.
You know what works really well with Carrie is NyQuil. Seems to help me anyway.
To answer your question, anything that brings a woman to the pinnacle of excitement, that's a good thing. That's going to work in your favor. So that's why you want that.
Come on. All you guys, you don't know what you're talking about. Where are the men in this room? Where are the men who realize you have... I mean, what's my number one goal?
Mm-hmm.
Are they... I have the feeling they're using the dumb button.
I don't know.
Are they?
I hope they're not.
There should
be nothing. I just heard that weird thing in my headphones. Mm-hmm. If you're a guy, mm-hmm. here's all you want to do when you're having sex. You want to achieve. Really, that's it. And I'm so tired of guys like Antonio Banderas and Buzz Burbank who get in public forums and say it's all about satisfying the woman first.
You dismiss it like you're going to the bathroom or something. It's no. If you can make it better, wouldn't you want to make it even better?
Did they dump something out?
Yeah, you can't use... Well, here, I'll tell you what you can't say together.
Okay, God. Rob's going to write something down. What we can't say.
Sex?
No, don't say that with that.
Oh, my God. You mean like if I was going to play the song by Foxy, the great 1980s disco song, Get Off.
Right.
I couldn't play that song while I was talking about sex? Somebody give me the rule book here.
Yeah, it's always
somebody
confusing.
Give me the freaking rule book.
It is confusing.
Hello, phone scan, Don and Mike Show.
Sex
Hello.
Is confusing.
Radio Gods, is huh? there a reason why you play different carts at the end of your show on the flagship station than on syndication? What I'm talking about is the old Right On and Please Focus on the Show carts.
We haven't played those for like 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Can you play it one time for posterity? It was so funny.
No, here's the, and I appreciate that. We used to play a lot more tapes on our show.
Mm-hmm.
The problem now is, do you want tapes or do you want show? Because now we're locked into this network thing, so we got 4 hours, and we got to get all the commercials in the 4 hours. And
you had to weed the garden a little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you get thinking to the end of the show. We used to have at the end of the show a whole big sing that went, you know, goodbye.
Exactly.
Al Wiedersehen. Mm-hmm. But you think about it. That takes up 2.5 minutes every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry, we don't got time for it.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. Thank you for asking, though, Mongo. Don and Mike, hello. Phone scan.
Don't go to town, Mongo.
Hello.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, would you give up sex for a year if you could have the number one rating in every major market in America?
No.
Nope.
If you could have what?
A number one rating.
A number one rating in every market in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good for you, Don. Good for you, Mike.
Doesn't change the bottom line.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Ratings come and ratings go.
Now, you can rephrase that. There are things that I would give up. I would give up sex for, but that certainly not number one ratings. We can achieve that without anything. Like
my
that.
Penis has always been number one rated my entire life. I mean, it's one of the few things in my life that I can actually say has never let me down.
I might give up sex for a starring role in the number one movie of the year.
I wouldn't.
I don't think I would. No.
I like getting laid too much. Even, you know, working my own man too much.
But the day, you know, that year is over. And the movie would only, like, you know, the movie would only be like...
But you wouldn't be a real star, though. You'd be a fake star. You'd only be a star because you promised not to have sex.
Yeah.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello, are you there?
Okay.
Oh, I tried to take the call.
I was just playing the fantasy game.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello.
I'm all Golden Globed up.
Hello.
Hey, Don. I get one of them Golden Globes.
Hi.
Sure.
Hey, Don. Was your minstrel dressed like that saggy Green Arrow outfit in the Batman series?
No, he was. He didn't have like a Green Arrow
feather in his hat.
Yeah, costume. No, just had a bad Russian suit on. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Richard from Salt Lake.
Thank you, Richard. What can we do for you, Dick?
I have no colon.
You have no colon?
No colon.
It was completely removed?
But a semicolon.
No, completely gone. Not even a semicolon. In fact, I haven't had a firm duke in 7 years.
See, you go into a bag?
I'm telling you.
No.
Do we get great calls?
Yeah.
They reconstructed my intestines.
So they did.
And they took my small intestine.
Now he craps out his ears.
No, it still comes out the same poop chute, the no-no place. But just kind of the consistency. Have you ever seen a pool gun-eyed?
Have we ever seen what?
A pool gun-eyed. Oh, I have, and you grossed me out.
All right, see you later.
Matter through it, too.
Thought you might like that.
All right, guy with
artificial colon.
No colon. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I can teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
I wish I knew who that was.
It's better than yours.
I mean,
it's better than yours.
It's a real song, Mike.
But
yeah,
I have to charge.
Yeah, popular.
Right. Hello. Phone scan. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Oops. You gotta step up.
That's part of that call.
Don and Mike, hello.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Yeah, I get evidence that Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel are scat lovers.
Why?
Well, in the original album version of the song Feeling Groovy at the end of the second verse,
yeah?
The line is, do it in doo-doo, feeling groovy.
Really?
Really.
Buzz, would you look that up? You're the Simon and Garfunkel.
They actually say badoop the doo doo. It's just a doo 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 singing.
No. It actually is.
No, it
is.
You're nuts.
You listen, it sounds like it.
Do it in doo doo.
So look it up, but you know it's not going to be
doo-doo.
There.
Do it in doo doo. Look it up, Buzz. This guy,
look it up.
I think it's actually doo 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 doo. It's like
a song. Do it in doo doo. I know it is.
Groovy.
Doo 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 doo.
Poo 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 poo.
You gotta check.
Crap, 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 crap.
Feeling groovy.
Brown shampoo and feeling. No, I don't think.
Okay, the printed lyrics here say doot in doo doo. Doot, D-O-O-T, doot in doo doo.
I'd have to say this guy is a big winner.
Yeah, sweet.
You're the last caller, but also you're the winner because yes, it does say doo doo.
It does. It says it right here in doo doo.
Doo doo, no. Feeling groovy. Congratulations! You won the DVD of your choice, courtesy of Borders.
Nice.
Borders invites you to customize your movie library with the Build Your Own DVD box set now through January 25th, which was, incidentally, yesterday.
That's interesting.
Right. Thank you. Charlie Broyhill just...
He didn't win that, sir. Hold on.
You know what? Just send me one of your wife's voter registration cards. That'd be all right.
Hold on a second. No, an even better prize has been substituted now. The much sought after DVD copy of Body by Jake Strength Training 101 for Women.
Yeah, there
don't
you go.
Quit.
Yeah, and
great.
Do do. Right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for those great calls on the phone scan. Mike, you know I mentioned we're going to be in Houston on Friday.
We are indeed.
Because it's a
Super Bowl.
Going to the bowl. We will start our week of crazy, crazy funny Super Bowl bits.
Good.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bitter cold night. The Giants with a victory against the Eagles tonight could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
The Don and Mike Show.
Master haters, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Oh, what a weekend. And what a weekend. No football.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm sitting there. No offense, Sacramento.
Yeah?
Kings are on playing Dallas.
Not the same, though, is it?
Kings ended up losing the game. I can't. I can't watch it. I'm in that football frame of mind. It's Sunday. It's 3 o'clock. There's nothing on. There's dick on. You know what they're running on Channel 5? MASH.
Yeah, wow. During the day.
They should be running football.
Reruns of football.
Anything.
Classic football contest.
You got to help me on this. So anyway, the last bit of football that we're going to get this year is Sunday.
You never can enjoy it, though, because you're always looking ahead. You're looking to ahead when you won't have any.
But I do look forward to us going to the Super Bowl and broadcasting there. And tonight, or rather Friday night, will be the night that we take Nancy James out.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to going to a city I've never been. You have been to Houston. I have not. So that's a part of Texas I've never been to, and I'm looking forward to it.
So now, every day, what we're going to do as we build up to the Super Bowl, we're going to have our Super Bowl bit.
This is a soup official, but it's not the official bit of the Super Bowl.
No, but it's our official Super Bowl bit.
Yes, since they throw that word around so much, official bit of the Super Bowl.
This is our bit for today. There are two guys, one guy from New England and one guy from Carolina, and they're both tailgaters. They are master tailgaters, and this weekend... They will be grilling each other in Houston to see who has the hottest fans.
Alabaster!
They will compete at the Super Bash.
Of course.
The Carolina Outlaws will be taking on the New England Nightmares.
Those fans bring big appetite!
The guy from the Patriots tailgaters, he makes chicken.
Grilled chicken.
Mm-hmm. And he has a giant picture of... Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
He's all dreamy.
Uh-huh.
The Carolina guy has ribs. You know, you got to have Carolina ribs.
Sure.
And here they are now, both of them incidentally on separate buses on their way to Houston to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Let's see, who's on which leg? Robbie, who's on this one here? Which guy is this?
I don't know.
You have an idea? Where's Kevin?
Right here.
All right, Kevin, how about Danny?
Right here.
Okay, so Kevin is the guy from New England. Danny is the guy from the Charlotte area. Or from Carolina, right, Danny?
That's correct.
And incidentally, Danny's a cop.
Hmm. Are you a state guy or a local guy, Danny? What kind of law, huh?
Well, me and my buddies actually were from Philadelphia, and we go to all of Carolina just for the fact that our buddy started with working and since they started. So we've been going to Carolina games since 95.
Wait, you're from Philly?
Yes.
And your
guy is this Danny?
And you're representing
what?
Carolina. This is not right.
Hmm. You Philadelphia just got killed by Carolina.
Well, we were rooting for Carolina, put it that way.
Wow.
But you live in Philly.
Now, yeah, we're all from
Philly. Had to be a little difficult, I would imagine, with Philadelphia being the way it is about their sports.
It was tough. I bet, that's how big of fans we were. You should have seen us. They get a bad reputation, and they live up to it.
You know, I'm reading in the little article here, and it says, "You just gnaw until they're gone." You know, and I figured that sounded like a Carolina quote all the way. And here you are going, "Hey, you just got to try these ribs there, because I'm a Carolina." You like Carolina's Panthers?
Do you have the guts to wear that Carolina Panthers gear in Philadelphia?
Oh yeah, I always do.
Wow,
I wear it all the time.
Really, you don't get raped or anything? I mean, you know, man rape?
No. Come on now. I'm a cop.
Are you a Philly cop?
I do, so you know what I mean?
Are you a Philadelphia city cop?
Yeah, I'm a play close.
That's
cop.
Right. You're an undercover cop.
All right, so he's a cop. So if anybody tried to force something.
So he could be lying about being a Carolina fan.
There's no doubt about it. We're blue and black blood, man. I'm telling you.
Well, then why?
I
understand that, but it's not like the Carolina Panthers have. A tradition of decades of being... They've only been a team, like, for 8 or 9 years.
Well, they came in 94. That's when they were awarded, and they started playing in 95.
You drive down to the home games?
We go to the home anyway. We're down for the Eagles when they played down there. Wow. We were at the Dallas playoff game a few weeks back.
All right, let's talk to the New England guy. Hey, Kevin?
I'm here.
Where are you from, Dallas?
No, I'm from outside of Boston, Framingham.
All right, so Kevin, do you think this guy's a dick? I mean, keep in mind he's a cop, but you can get away with it now because you're on the radio. Do you think he's
no, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you
think ABC?
I can tell he's from New England.
Do you think the guy's a dick though because he's not even from Charlotte or anywhere in the Carolinas?
Well, If he lives in Philly, I'm already scared of that, so.
Likely so.
So when you guys compete, did you win some kind of contest to be the best tailgaters in America? How did you both end up, or is it just because your teams are there?
We had our tailgate last week when the Eagles played Carolina.
And if you're if the team is gonna get the tailgaters to send them or you know stand behind them to go to the game in Houston, why wouldn't the Carolina team
pick a guy from Carolina?
Get somebody who lives in Charlotte or down.
Danny, we're really not trying to give you a hard time. We're just trying to figure it all out. How did you get it?
To live in the city to be a fan, you know what I mean?
Well, how did you get awarded this honor of representing the Carolina Panthers
at
in
the Super Bash? At the Super Bash.
And
now the phone breaks up, of course.
What? Danny?
Yes.
Danny, we're losing you.
Me and Danny. Kevin, are you there?
I'm here.
Kevin, I hope you win.
Danny?
Pick on Danny.
Danny, how come they didn't pick somebody from Carolina?
I guess they don't know how to tailgate. You know why? I guess we've been tailgating since, you know, the 80s, and we know how to do it, and Carolina's a new franchise.
Danny.
They're still working things out.
Danny, not that I don't trust the NFL implicitly, but did you have a connection? Did this get you a free trip to the Super Bowl, Danny?
He's a cop. He's got connections all over the
That's
place.
That's right. He's being quiet, too. Strangely, I smell a rat.
We deserve this. We should have seen ours. We had everything.
What do you have? Well, tell us about your spread.
But the real we have line of tailgate winners in jail.
We have corn on the cob, ribs, steak. We don't mess around. You name it, we put it out there.
Sounds like an average tailgate.
Can you name
Matt Kyle at his tailgate?
Danny?
Yes.
Who's number 55 for the Panthers?
Number 55?
Don't answer a question with a question.
He's from
Pardon me?
This guy's phone is Danny's phone's toast.
I think you got it right. It's Dan Morgan. That's right. And I don't have a list. I'm just doing the Panthers off the top of my head.
Kevin, tell me about your spread. What do you have out there?
We're having chicken. Bad cow. Chicken.
Anything besides chicken, Kevin?
I wanted this thing called Jack's football fondue.
What is Jack? That sounds a little gooey.
Jack's football fondue.
It's like a chocolate stuffing. We have fraps, and I figured we could have a frap chocolate.
All right, I'm getting a distinct impression that these two gentlemen are plants. that someone else
Danny?
Is going to be in a cafeteria being doing all the cooking.
Hey, Danny? Danny, who's the Carolina Panther that is dead now? The famous one that's dead? Danny?
Danny
is...
You know, whenever we get to the heart of these conspiracies...
Yeah, the phone
Danny is
up.
Suddenly gone. Kevin?
You?
For extra points, do you know the Carolina guy that's dead? Hold on.
Jack, Jack D, or...
No,
What's the quarterback today?
Oh, dear.
I think the New England guy might have been making a joke.
Yeah, I think he was.
He's making a joke about the quarterback's going to be dead.
I think he was. Hey, how about that guy? Danny, can you tell me about Ray Carruth? Danny?
Sadly, Don, he can't.
These are things that the Panther fans would know, the running back.
Right.
I'm zoning on his name now for questioning the authenticity
dead.
Here.
And Ray Carruth was the guy, the receiver that
who
got,
was contracted to have his wife murdered.
Right, who's in jail.
Right.
He's
been convicted.
Yeah, right.
Was it Fred Lane? Is that the dead guy? The dead guy for Carolina? Fred Lane?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, a real Panthers fan would know.
No, it's not Fred Lane. That's Nathan.
A real Panthers fan would know one of your players that died under suspicious circumstances.
Well, his phone was so broken up, we weren't able to get the answer from Danny. But he's from Philly!
Hey, Kevin?
Yo.
Congratulations on behalf of the Don and Mike Show. Mm-hmm. We're going to be officially rooting for you.
Yes.
To win the Super Bash. And what do you get if you win this tailgating spectacle in Houston on Sunday? Yeah.
I think we got a big pat on the back. I think it's a 6-foot trophy or something like that they put your name on.
This is sponsored by Jack Daniels, right?
Correct.
Do you get any free product?
We already asked. The answer was no.
Huh. Do you get a ticket to the game?
Yes.
And tickets for your friends?
Yeah.
Free AOL?
How many how many total tickets do you get?
There's 6 people in our group.
So you got 6 tickets to the game?
Yeah.
So you've already gotten your award then?
I think so, yeah.
That's it. All right. And
the real award is the Pats winning in my champagne hangover on Monday.
All right. And Danny from Philly, who's really Carolina. I don't get his. He's gone.
He got six tickets. He and his Philadelphia friends put on a Carolina jersey and talked to their friend.
Philadelphia.
Checked in. It was the
Philadelphia. The legacy keeps coming back to haunt us.
That. I'm sorry.
And you know what?
It's not fair.
Right. Weren't we going to root for Carolina? Well, we can still root for Carolina in the Super Bowl.
Well, I've watered it down a little bit. I mean, I was going to root for Carolina, and I'm from New England.
So, Kevin,
what's that all about?
Well, I'm a big Red Sox fan. That's my team. I'm a baseball fan.
How many days is it going to take you to drive from Boston to Houston?
We left this morning from Framingham, and we are going to arrive in Houston on Thursday, late afternoon, early evening.
What about the
4 to 6 o'clock?
Are you worried about the crazy weather? Like the I know that there's ice storms down in the Carolinas.
No, this is nothing.
See, there's someone from New England.
8 degrees this morning. Yeah. Some from, I left my house.
Just another day.
And is Tom Brady the dreamiest or what?
I don't know about that.
Good answer.
He's a fan, Don. Come on. I mean, is he drop dead gorgeous or what? I mean, really.
Well, if you talk to the two girls in our group, they will say yes.
Very good. Good answer.
What about your thoughts as a man, though? I mean,
my thoughts as a man?
I'll tell you, listen, I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm a happily married heterosexual man. I enjoy sex with my wife, but I have to tell you, Tom Brady is dreamy.
Do you agree that he's dreamy, Kevin?
Dreaming of a championship? Yes.
He won't.
Are you trying to get me to say something here?
Never. Very straight. When you're tailgating and eating a cocktail weenie, do you ever think, maybe that might be Tom? Do you ever have that fantasy that you're eating Tom's weenie?
No.
Huh.
You fantasize about feeding him chicken?
No, not during the game.
Okay.
Tom Brady's cocktail weenie.
Maybe you should have a line of those, Tom Brady's cocktail weenies.
Well,
I guarantee they're delicious.
Kevin, we understand where you're coming from, I guess, that you got some free tickets and you're going to go to Houston and have a great time.
That still doesn't explain Danny, though.
Yeah, and Kevin, we would like to invite you. We'll give you tell you where we're going to be. Come by our radio show on Friday.
Sure, if I can do it.
Yeah, we'd love to see him.
Right. He's not going to come by now after that whole cocktail weenie thing.
Of course, if your schedule allows. And if we don't have somebody bigger on our show at the time. Good luck, Kevin. We'll be rooting for you at the Super Bash.
The Super Bash. Hope that your grilled chicken. Anything besides grilled chicken you throw on there?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I can't divulge anything else.
Oh, it's a secret. Anything New England-y?
They nixed us on the lobster.
Oh, you would have killed with the lobster.
Yeah.
Should have been able to do that.
All right, my friend. And just remember, the guy from Carolina is really from Philly.
Ridiculous.
No, that's bad news.
All right, we'll see you later.
All right, have a good one.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Yeah, sterling effort put in by both super fans.
Right.
Both foodies.
That's great. I'll always remember Buzz's reaction.
Wow.
Well, Buzz, listen, it's hard to come up with these
kick-ass
Super Bowl bits.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah, I was entertained. To be as timely and topical as today's headline.
Hey, I don't care. How often do we uncover a conspiracy?
And right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, you've got to know. I'm a big Carolina fan.
Yous guys.
What's the deal with that?
Who goes from Philadelphia to Charlotte to go to a football game?
And how do you grow up in Philadelphia, I'm sorry, and become a Carolina fan?
And like I said, Carolina's been a team. I mean, he had the number. This is their ninth season.
Right.
It's not like they have a heritage.
You just don't understand, Don.
No, I don't.
And I wanted to go to the game.
As an undercover cop who doesn't want to stand out, you want to wear the blue and black in Philadelphia.
Right.
Right. What? I guarantee there's not a chance he ever wore a Panthers jersey or a Panthers hat to that to a game in Philly.
See? Wow.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Thanks, Buzz.
The only chance he wore blue and black is actually if it was on his skin.
So there you go. That's listen. And guess what? That's just the first in a trilogy, much like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Well, no, they don't necessarily get bigger.
Come on.
But we do have Super Bowl bits for you all.
Play along. Go Carolina, yo.
When we come back, Mike?
Yes?
Are you ready for some incest?
Oh.
Yep, we're going to pick our incest winner.
Okay, pick a winner. Pick it till it gets infected.
And we're going to meet a couple. Now, I have not met this couple. They're here at the station.
Right. Ooh.
Here's what I understand. This will be a first for our show.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Highway Love Connection.
Okay.
Where two people meet and go to an event together.
Right.
They meet on the side of the road. They did it and now they're getting married.
You mean a legitimate highway love connection resulting in marriage? Maybe wow. The first time ever.
This would be the first time ever.
And we're going to weave that into the incest.
So we'll do, you know, we'll do one and then we'll do the other.
That's great.
We'll get both, you know, both great things.
We'll see. You'll see how we can be good and we can be horrid.
Hi, Charlie.
Isn't it really the second highway love connection marriage?
Well, if you count Mike's.
You bastard.
Yeah. Well, the first non-show.
Right.
Highway love connection marriage.
Yeah, I wasn't out on the highway.
I know. You were here
I
with me.
I was here in the studio.
You were here with me.
I know.
You.
Now, Charlie, thanks a lot. Now I'm all... I was in a really good mood. Now I'm all depressed.
Well, the incest really letters will cheer you up.
Yeah, the incest letters. They'll pick me up.
You know, as I recall that day... your ex came down.
You know, she was, this is payback from early in the show.
Apparently.
The 50-yard thing.
I remember she was 50 yards away from me.
Yeah, big
when
deal.
You first looked at her.
Oh, touche.
When you looked at her. Okay, so listen, the happy love story and two happy love stories.
Oh,
and
God.
It, and it's the best winner.
La, 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 la.
And these people will be right back every day.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the muffler plant's gone too.
Yep.
Oh, come on, damn it. Oh, that sounds good. Melted chocolate inside the dash. That really ups the resale value.
I think you're going to be okay here. They have a thin candy shell. Surprised you didn't know that. I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has a shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up, Richard.
The Don and Mike Show.
They love to get festive. Don and Mike.
Right, right. Let's meet the lovely couple first, and then we'll get our incest winner.
All right.
These are two crazy kids in love. They've been on the show a bit we do once in a while called the Highway Love Connection. Where if somebody parks the car on the side of the road, it's always the girl.
Yeah.
And
we invite guys to come by, and she picks a guy, and she thinks he's the right guy. She goes on a date with him, and this resulted in matrimony.
Wow. And to be honest, a lot of times these people meet, and they don't even go to the event. They see
each other. Yeah, I mean, they say they're going to go on a date, they don't even go.
They don't
go.
Do it. Hmm. But you guys did. Hi, and who are you guys?
My name is Mike.
Hi, Mike, and you are?
Megan.
Hi, Megan. Mike, I didn't know you were the guy that was in there taking a leak a while ago when you were in there taking a leak.
Yes, sir, but I know you don't like talking while you're doing that, so...
Now that's a fan of the show right now.
I appreciate that. So, when we played the Highway Love Connection with you guys, how long ago was it?
It'll be a year, actually, this Friday.
A year that we actually Friday. Played the game.
That we played the game, yes.
So this entire thing has happened within a year's time frame.
Within a year, yes.
That is
so
awesome.
Where were you parked?
On 495.
So he took his life into his hands, getting out and
on
coming up to your car.
On the Beltway. And where were you going? What was the date?
I was coming home from work.
No, I mean, where were you guys going? What were you playing for to win?
The event, the ticket.
To wrestling.
Oh, wrestling.
About a 90% chance.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, and about wrestling, Broyhill just came in and told us that Mick Foley will be on the show Wednesday.
Very good.
And that, what do you say, Mick Foley just wants to know if he can come in at any time.
He comes through town often. The quote from Mr. Broyhill was, well, let me interpret. What he really said, Charlie, was,
He wants to come by.
He wants to come by whenever he's in town. And Charlie said, yes, whenever he wants to do that.
So, guys, you went to the wrestling together?
No, we actually didn't get the tickets because he said something that you didn't like.
Oh, no! Oh.
What did you say?
Well, I'll let him explain it. He tells it better.
Oh, no, this could get ugly. This is like so sweet.
She actually gave out her tag number.
Right.
And she was sitting on the side of the Beltway, and I pulled up. And we actually pulled over into the grass, well off the Beltway. We weren't in any danger. We weren't impeding traffic or anything. And as we're sitting there waiting for you guys to get back to us,
right?
Some guy pulls up in the slow lane and stops. Literally stops right in the middle of the Beltway.
Oh, idiot.
Pulls up, and another guy rear-ends him.
Oh,
and
no.
Another car rear-ended that one.
So
we made sure nobody was hurt or anything. And at that point, we just moved up off the next ramp and got off the road totally.
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second. I've just been told... And I was, in fact, handed a disc of this.
Ah, good. Okay.
We can hear this, what happened.
All right, we have a little... you guys ready for a little trip down memory lane?
I'm not.
Well, we have some romantic, non-incestual music you could find. So we've got the incest music.
Yes. That's the dirty, naughty, filthy,
gutter. And it's brother on sister incest, though. It's the best possible incest that we have.
If there is such a thing.
And okay, you got it. Here you go.
So now let's go back.
Now back to the happy couple story. Let's go back 1 year ago. I think it's cut number two on that disc, Rob. I think Charlie had taped this thing and cut it down and got it all under, like, something like that in 3 minutes. Here we go. Well, let's see what this is.
This is Megan.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
If you've seen Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts' friend Kitty, the other hooker, is what everybody always
says. Laura San Giacomo. Are you Italian looking?
No, I'm Portuguese and Spanish and German. People say I look Italian.
Do you have a mustache?
No, I don't.
Rob wants to know if you have big, beautiful breasts.
You're average.
Yeah, that means
humongous.
I mean, she's got good ones. Exactly where are you and what kind of car are you driving?
I'm on the Beltway. I'm on the outside circle between 214 and...
The outer loop?
Yes.
The outer circle.
Welcome.
You're outer circle, outer loop, and I'm sitting underneath an emergency stopping sign hoping a cop doesn't come get me.
We will put 60 seconds on the clock for you, Megan. Here is Megan. Go. All right, so that's the setup from when you were on the show.
Did it end ugly? Did it end weird?
What happened?
No, I'm just scared to hear myself.
Okay,
I know
all right.
But I all right.
So far, so good.
All right, let me see if there's more of this.
Hi, guys. My name's Megan. I'm sitting on the side of the Beltway, freezing cold, underneath an emergency stopping sign, waiting for somebody to stop on the side of the road so I can go...
So this is when we gave you the time to put out your plea.
When you were on the outer circle.
You will not...
outer loop.
If you show up and see me, I'm sitting in a purple neon. The license plate says Mixer. You can't miss it. And I'm sitting here waiting, getting kind of lonely and cold in the snow.
There she is. Now we have the real girl standing in front of us right here later.
Yes, yeah, a trip down memory lane here.
Let's go. Not big in the butt. Average. I hear it every day. I've already got two guys sitting here fighting over me.
Listen to that.
Wow. All right, Megan, well, you got to keep them there until we come back from commercials. Let's go to Megan, who's been sitting on, as she called it, the outer circle of the Beltway.
Outer loop.
Outer loop. And then this is maybe where you meet your lover. Megan, how many guys you got there?
We have one now because I just caused an accident, a three-car pileup, because this matrix decided to stop and honked a horn at us, and the car hit him behind, so we kind of fled the scene.
Hold on. Megan, you caused an accident and fled the scene?
I did not cause an accident. We're just...
Now I remember.
I remember. Yeah.
Now I remember.
And I remember the way, Megan, you said it like the worst possible way. We just kind of paused and kind of fled the scene.
I still hear it every day, and he's still like, you lost those tickets, you... Every day I still
make fun of them. Let's just hear that again.
Megan, how many guys you got there?
We have one now because I just caused an accident, a three-car pileup, because this matrix decided to stop and honked a horn at us, and the car hit him behind, so we kind of fled the scene.
There
you go, Your Honor. We kind of fled the scene.
Well, Megan, we've got a special treat for you. The cops are here, and they're
Bring
going to be
in.
Taking you away. No, we're kidding.
So you fled. You fled the scene.
We moved.
We had to move.
You moved.
We moved a little bit up.
And then you actually got together.
Yes, sir.
And how did it go once you got past the fact that she was fleeing the scene of an accident and you were fleeing with her?
We actually exchanged numbers that evening and hadn't talked again, and my phone rang at 6 o'clock the next morning. If you want to hear about that part, it's pretty cute.
No, we do. If it's cute, you know we want to hear it.
It's pretty cute.
So we love cute.
Your phone rang at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, and it's Megan. So I'm just laying there. I'm half asleep, and she says, turn on the radio, listen to whatever station this was. It's whatever she listens to in the morning. She said, I know I messed up, and I lost the tickets, and I'm going to go be in something called a bitch slap contest to try to win the tickets back for us.
So are you like a contest pig?
No, but I felt bad about losing these tickets.
So you tried to go with another radio contest to win?
I wanted to win these tickets so bad for him.
So it was another, like, wrestling opportunity?
It was wrestling, of course.
You're a prize pig.
No,
You're not even loyal to our show.
Well, I'm not at all.
We hook you up with a guy, you get into an accident, you leave the scene of an accident, and then the next day, how do you thank us? You call some other radio station?
I'd go on in the morning, I'd listen.
All right, we were on in the morning. At least it was the morning. I think we give you a free pass because it was on in the morning.
And I hate to be petty, but if they were doing a bitch slap contest, wouldn't that really be our slap off contest?
I think that's something, you know.
That's exactly what he said.
Like people don't steal from us, Don. Like, it hasn't happened for years.
So you betray us again. Go to another radio station. Did you win the tickets then from them?
No.
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 So now this is two radio stations you've lost.
Wow.
Well, really? I got busted in the lip. My lip started to bleed, so I got disqualified.
Really?
After we slapped each other 10 times.
When was that photograph?
Wow. This is the picture of her at the other radio station.
Oh, that's in my office at work.
Oh, that's after she was in the contest that was the rip-off.
So are you married now? Are you both married?
October 2nd, we're getting
married. October 2nd, you're getting married. Wow.
When did you propose?
I don't even know the exact day. I guess I'm in trouble now.
It was a holiday.
What holiday was it?
Memorial Day or Labor Day, whichever one's in September.
It's like within the year.
it was a couple months ago.
Was it a national drive away from an accident day?
Labor Day. National flee the scene.
It was in front of the whole family, parents, sisters, everybody. Right. It was
the scene of an accident day. So here you are now, a year later. You actually met on this show, and you are going to get married.
Yes, we are.
And you love each other.
Yes, we do.
Very much so.
That is fantastic. Right. It's tender.
We owe it all to you.
Cute. And it really adds nice balance to the next thing we're going to do. It really does.
Mike, we might not have time for all of the incest.
Oh.
The incest might have to roll over.
Another day.
Put it back into the hot
torture. All right.
No, we have time for a little incest.
A little incest.
All right, guys. It was a pleasure meeting you. Congratulations.
Yeah. Let us know how it goes and try to stay together.
That's what I tell
everybody that gets married. Thank you, kids.
Hold on. Before you leave, let's hear that one more time.
And fled the scene.
Okay. Would you bag it up, Rob? Let's just hear just that
Megan,
part.
How many guys you got there?
We have one now because I just caused an accident, a 3-car pileup, because this Matrix decided to stop and honked a horn at us. And
this
the car
what decided to stop? Matrix? A Matrix.
Oh, no, hold on. You, Megan, you caused an accident and fled the scene?
I did not cause an accident. We're just
hold on, honey.
Oh, my.
And then it went downhill from there.
Went south.
But look how it ended up, huh?
All right, kids, you're double nutty. We wish you good wishes for your wedding.
Now, Megan, you do understand there will be no listening to any other radio stations anymore. Very good. All right.
Keep my radio off.
All right, very good.
Thanks.
Good. Congratulations, kids.
Nice meeting both of you.
Nice meeting both of you. Have a great day.
Congratulations. There they go. See, Mike? See?
Bye-bye.
See, people really do end up happy from the Don and Mike show.
Yeah, whatever.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something?
That's great.
So there she is. That's the guy. They
came all the way from St. Mary's.
Did they really?
Yep, they did. In an ice storm.
That's nice.
Just an ice.
Yeah, you know, it is icy out. And isn't that nice they came out here?
And if I could just give that guy a message, just give me a second.
Advice?
A quiet message.
Change your mind!
Yeah, that's
leave
the whole
now.
Thing. You know?
Leave now! She's not right for you! We knew it!
Look how loyal she was to us!
She left the scene of an accident!
Fled the scene.
Uh-huh. And she went to another radio station in the morning that was ripping off our bed! She's poison, I tell you! She's box office! Poison!
She's poison.
Drop her like a prom dress!
Wow.
She's bad news!
I concur. There you go. Oh, my God.
Isn't that nice of them to come in the ice?
Fragile, you bet we are.
You know, as soon as it was so funny, if anybody had cameras on us, as soon as that moment came and we just both... We look at her and we just go, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Great, all right.
Mike?
Yes? Oh, no.
Last week we did start an incest contest. I won't bore you with the details. We were right. Right was on our side. And we asked for your letters with your best brother and sister incest stories. Now, we're not going to have time again today. Do we want to get to Buzz in the news and comments?
We are not.
No, we are not.
All right.
But I'll just share one very short one that we received. I don't think we read on the show before. Dear Don and Mike, when I was in my late teens, my older sister and I had sex a few times.
Oh, dear.
It was the best I ever had.
Oh, no. Is that again?
I'd love to come on the show and talk about it. But my sister's married now with kids. She would never want to go on the show. She would not want to go to the Super Bowl. She was 19. I was 18. We used to be very close growing up.
Yeah.
One day she caught me peeking at her and it turned her on. Since she knew I was watching and didn't do anything, then the next week she made a move. And we had hot sex. We had it a few times over and over. And a few times I got scared she might get pregnant. We might have a tart after we have stopped having sex. After we stopped having sex, things got very awkward.
Sure.
To this day, if I could be with her again, I would.
Oh, that's important to turn the page there.
I can't find the next page.
Oh, no.
I can't just leave it with I would.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Mike, I'm not kidding you. I can't find.
He's still a sick bastard.
I can't find him.
It was his sister who maybe invited him in.
So maybe I would go to jail. I would go to hell.
Just I would, Gary.
I would. That's the way you want it.
Yeah, comma,
you're
I would.
Sick.
Here's one that I can't get into great deal of detail with you on because it was...
Our butt bonding might be over, you know.
Very,
I'm sorry to hear
very
that.
Explicit. Let me just say the word rock,
uh-huh.
as in rock and roll.
Right.
Rock and roll.
And hard, as in...
Hard Day's Night?
Hardee's.
Hardee's.
Is also mm-hmm. used. I can't read you the sentence that uses those words.
Save that one for me.
But then it says, I was freaking horny. This is a different letter, incidentally. I drank a few more beers to get up the courage, and I moved close to my sister. Started rubbing her leg. She looked at me, I looked at her. And we did it. I felt sick afterward.
Good.
I said again.
I can't believe we did it. The only thing that's sad is... It was great sex.
Common thread.
We didn't talk to each other for a while, but one night I got drunk and told her to come over, and she did, and it happened a few times like that. Maybe 10 times. We almost got caught by my roommate. We stopped, and that's how it went. Only a few people know about this, so please, if you use our story, don't use our real names.
Oh, don't worry.
None of these have won yet. And we're not even asking for any more responses at Don and Mike Show at WJFK.com.
Understandable.
Because we got plenty of them here.
Who knew we'd get this money?
I think the one that we're going to go with as the winner... Oh, we don't have time today. It's a big two-pager, though. It's a big two-pager about a brother and a sister that were snowed in.
Yeah, well, I suppose, with the weather.
It was a bad...
What are you going to do?
Bad weather. Bad weather weekend. And anyway, 2 years ago, I got divorced. Last year, my sister got divorced.
Oh,
back.
No, modern times.
She's working in a local hospital. She and I have become good friends because of what we've been through. One night, we were getting drunk after a long week, laughing about stuff that happened growing up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think you read that one before, didn't you?
Serious? Yeah, this is one of our
friends. Where they both had similar divorce experiences?
Asked about the weekend, and did I remember? I said it was the favorite time of my whole life.
Yep.
She got up from her chair and slid into my lap.
Oh, no.
She kissed me, and it was the hottest kiss I ever had.
Oh, no. Common themes.
Oh, no.
She was real vocal, too, unlike the first time.
Oh, dear.
I woke up when we did it in the morning. Did I read you this one? We get together every week or so and make love.
Yeah.
Always at my place.
It's a favorite.
I love my sister, and it's the best sex I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
She says the same.
Oh.
This might be our winner, right?
Yeah, that's the one that they both got divorced. So
right.
And they were finding comfort in one another. And I think they're still together.
Okay, well,
oh my God.
Right now, that's what I would vote for. And I don't think we've fully read the one about that starts. I know we touched on it last week. Do half-sisters count?
No, I don't think so.
We didn't read that. We've still got that to get on our to-do list. Also, Joe Ardinger's movies.
Yay.
We have more of Joe's movies to see this
that's
week.
Right.
God, we got a lot of stuff happening, but tomorrow we're going to pick that incest winner.
Good. And that plane's going into a mountain on Thursday.
And, also tomorrow, I'm carrying around a CD that a DJ sent for a couple of days. Do you remember about a week ago, we were, I don't know how we got on the topic of radio, maybe because we're in radio,
mm-hmm.
but there was an ad from a disc jockey looking for work, and his name was Danny Ocean.
He was looking for a program director.
Right. Well, we called the guy up, remember, so mm-hmm. see if we could help him out. Guy sent us his tape and resume.
Oh, okay.
So tomorrow we'll play those on the show and see if we can help the guy find a job.
Absolutely.
After we do the incest bit, though.
Ah!
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his
yards
people.
Away from
that's
me.
He made it up.
Right, Buzz?
Yes.
And Mike, we've not even gotten into Lansing, Michigan's transgendered candidate for mayor. Melissa Sue Robinson.
Look at that picture. Let us bind these into a book and sell it.
Yeah. Used to be a man. Now, let's see.
Oh, I thought it used to be a woman and turned into a man.
No, no. Used to be a man turned into a woman.
Well, they could have done a better job.
There you go. Anyway, she keeps sending us this stuff. She keeps faxing it. She wants to come on the show desperately.
She really looks like the guy in that movie with Jessica Lange. Have you seen that on cable? I think it's called Normal.
Oh, Mike, you know that one.
That's the guy. Yeah, with the guy, the big tall guy.
The guy who kind of looks like he should be in Monty Python.
Absolutely, yeah, the British-looking guy.
The guy who gets the hormone shot so he gets boobs and wears a dress.
And the son is just ready to kill him.
I saw a great clip of it this past week where he's sitting down like with their Fred Flintstone like lunchboxes at work, and someone says, "Who's wearing perfume?" And he says, "I am. It makes me feel good."
Anyway, all of that tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow, the incest and the movies and Danny Ocean and we'll play a game tomorrow that we couldn't because the weather is bad today. Mm-hmm. Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comments right now?
Today, the rumor is true. There is a new celebrity sex tape.
Oh, hey now.
Dr. J. Yep.
Oh, you did some research.
I did.
You bastard, because I know that's not...
I called an audible.
Here's the thing. Buzz and I fight every day about the story.
I know.
I desperately wanted to talk about what...
You guys like have to trade, right?
Yes, and I desperately wanted us to talk about something today.
We wrestled shirtless over the lead story, and I won, and now I've just tossed it aside as if it were nothing and replaced
it
with
sex
something
tape.
Else.
That's it. Yeah, the Dr. J sex tape. All right. Now, do you have it on your computer?
I do. Not the tape. No, the tape is actually not on the internet. Stories about the tape are on the internet.
Ah, gotcha. Because we had a guy call during the phone scan. Right. Saying, have you seen the tape like Paris Hilton of Julius Erving?
And all I heard, all he said as far as any detail about the tape was very well, you know. Mm. Right, but I don't know that any of us have actually seen it.
Come on, he's black.
No!
you know the stereotype. All right, well, good journalism there, Buzz.
Thank you.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. That was very...
professional.
And I have to say it now, because I wanted to say it 2 hours ago, but I saved it for Buzz for the news. Debbie Rose says that Michael Jackson's not the father of her children.
Oh!
That'll also be in the news.
Sorry.
That's all right. I'm okay with that. You were getting him, weren't you?
Yeah, this is what happened. All right. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Bingo, baby! The Don and Mike Show.
Cover Buzz Girdley's news and comments right now. Buzz, brought to you as always.
Did you invest in this company or what? This is a long-running sponsorship deal.
It's the clinical testing they refer to. I'm the clinic.
Duramax sexual pleasure performance enhancer.
Someone called for a doctor.
Doctors that have clinically tested Duramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today.
You take the product, don't you, Buzz?
Yeah, I do.
Buzz takes every product.
Yeah, he's just walking wood.
Viramax 1-888 Tri VMAX. Now, here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Oh. Hello!
Not easy to walk. The rumors are apparently true. There's a new celebrity sex tape, this one featuring Dr. J. Oh. Former NBA star Julius Erving reportedly made the tape several years ago. It was made somewhere between his afro and his graying head of hair. His co-star, according to the New York Post, is a voluptuous, dark-haired, cinnamon-skinned young woman.
Hello there.
They're in a hotel room. The Honey Drippers' Sea of Love is playing on the radio, followed by a morning fog report for San Jose, California.
Wow.
They engage in many positions, we're told.
How about that?
He was a slam dunk champion.
Yes, and apparently still is. The tape surfaces just as Dr. J is headed to court for a divorce from his wife of 31 years.
Oh, my God.
Well, isn't there also something about Dr. J that there was some kid a couple of years ago that came out and said that he's her daddy and that...
Yeah, he has other children outside of that marriage.
She made some kind of big stink that poo-pooed all over Dr. J's image.
Oh, that's right.
That it was,
and it went away almost as quickly as it surfaced, and then you didn't hear anything about it anymore.
Yeah, but then guys like me remember it when he's in a sex
way
tape.
Way to go. Good job.
So, Buzz, where do we see the sex tape?
I don't know.
You know something about this? Larry Michaels just come into the studio.
I don't know that we will see it.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah, it was a tennis player.
Dr. J had fathered a some female tennis player, right?
That's right. Yes. Alexandra Stevenson, a 22-year-old.
Yes.
We're hearing the story for the first time, so let me listen to Buzz. Is he done with that story? Because that's not a getting history right.
He's got a little more on it. He's got a little more on it. Just that it was 22-year-old Alexandra Stevenson was the woman who...
Did you call Larry a moron?
No, he's got a little moron.
Hey, he's being funny.
50 yards away. Incest.
And that child is now 6 years old.
Highway Love Connection.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, let me lay this out for you. Michael Jackson has three children, the first two through his first wife, Debbie Rowe. He met her at his plastic surgeon's office.
If we could just go back to the Dr. J story.
Oh,
just
sure.
For one second.
Sure. Bacardi Limon.
Didn't Dr. J come forward because the tennis player was successful?
She came forward and said, I want everyone to know Dr. J is my dad.
But it wasn't a bad thing about him, right? But wasn't that he had been supportive of her, correct?
I think he gave money.
Yeah, right.
But he maybe didn't do anything else. And where do I see this thing of Dr. J banging this guy?
I don't know that you will see it. We're hearing that apparently it's in the hands of the lawyer for his soon-to-be ex-wife of 31 years.
All right. You know, see, I listen to the news when you do it, just like I listen to the news when anybody does it, or when I'm reading something.
Half listening.
Yeah, and then you got to go back and ask details. You know,
that's a good question.
That's why it's good to have a radio show, because if you hear something and you don't quite get it...
Yeah, it'd be like sitting in while Tom Brokaw's reading the news, and you could say, stop. Hey,
what did you say?
Bacardi Limon.
Sure, ask questions. So anyway, back to Michael Jackson now. He has three children.
Oh, Michael Jackson.
First two through his first wife, Debbie Rowe, met her in a plastic surgeon's office. Later, she gave birth to Prince Michael Jr., who's now 6, and Paris, who's now 5.
And boy, is she a piece of ass, huh? Debbie Rowe?
She's a beast.
Debbie and Michael divorced.
How about her brother? Nick.
Nick Rowe?
Nick Lowe.
It's Nick Lowe.
Oh, Nick Lowe. No, it's Rowe, not Lowe.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Nick Lowe is cruel to be kind.
Right. Cruel to be kind. Debbie and Michael divorced the year after Paris was born, and Mother Debbie says that despite what Michael has said, he is not the biological father. She says she
That's
has...
a shock.
Yeah, really. Well, he's been claiming publicly,
I know.
Well, she says she has legal papers to prove she was inseminated with the sperm of an anonymous donor.
She says it keeps getting...
I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
She says it came from a sperm bank, and she says...
It wasn't all that artificial, if you catch my drift.
Absolutely. Just give my best to the king of pop.
And Debbie says she was abstinent for 6 months just to make sure that the sperm bank was indeed the source. Now, she's going after exclusive temporary custody of those first two kids. Debbie says she got $3 million along with a house, a car, clothing, and jewelry in exchange for her motherhood services. Jackson's people have no comment. His third child, Prince Michael II,
was born from another
surrogate.
What she did was she got $3 million, the house, the car, to go along with the scam.
Right. And apparently she did sign an agreement saying that she wouldn't at any time question the paternity of these children, and now here she is.
Now she's doing it because now's the time in the public eye when you go, okay.
Well, also, sure, you know, he's scum for doing it. She's
nuts.
Scum for going along with it.
She's nuts. He's nuts. But he's the one that's a kid toucher, and he's the one making his little kids wear Mardi Gras masks when they go outside.
So you got to think, you know, are the kids better with her? Because she's a nut, too.
Who to believe?
How about we take the kids away from both sets of
There's
parents
an idea.
And give them to somebody who will give them a nice, loving home? And
row your boat.
Row.
Merrily down the stream.
And although no reason's been given, Michael's taken his Bentley off the auction block. You remember Don mentioned this last week. It's off. At least for now. It was supposed to have been sold this week at a classic car auction in Scottsdale. The Bentley was featured in the video What More Can I Give? The headliner of the car is autographed by Michael and a half dozen other celebrities.
Thank you, Arthur. Thank you for bidding on my car. I want it back. And she wants the babies. And life is so complicated.
Bye, Michael.
Bye!
As perhaps all of it should be, the Robert Blake murder trial will be on TV.
Oh, yeah!
I gotta watch it on that show, that court TV I like so bad.
I like it so bad.
The judge has ruled that she'll allow cameras in the courtroom for the opening statements, the closing arguments, and the verdict. But she says we won't be seeing Blake or anyone else on the witness stand.
Aww.
Well, reporters will challenge this at a hearing on Groundhog Day. The lawyers on both sides...
Groundhog Day!
I got a weak bladder.
Phil?
Just like my brother.
Who's your brother? Oh, no, I forgot. That's not a joke.
Brother.
That's just, brother is like fetter.
My younger brother is a quarterback in the NFL.
Who's that? Jeff Blake.
There you go.
I got a feeling that you were Debbie Rhode then, because he's so black and you're so white.
Stranger things have happened. Look at the Michael Jackson's kids. There you go, there, Don.
The lawyers on both sides say they have no problem with the judge's decision, but the DA says she also wouldn't mind if it was on TV. The judge, however, is unhappy with the lawyers for arguing among themselves. She's unhappy that the prosecution's been slow to turn over evidence, and she's unhappy that the defense is flooding her with what she calls useless information.
I'd like to make a statement, if I may.
Yes, Robert. Mr. Blake.
I'll tell you right now, I've been through a tough time, but I think it's time to tell the whole world right now what the real truth of the matter is.
All right, go ahead, Robin.
I'm the father of Michael Jackson's kid. I slept with that bitch, Debbie Rowe, right before I offed Bonnie Blakely.
At that restaurant?
Because they looked at the restaurant I like so bad. Because they look like sisters. Not brothers, sisters.
In New York, jury selection's over in the Martha Stewart case, but it's just starting. The jury selection is in a case against P. Diddy. Sean Puffy Combs is being sued for $3 million by the bodyguard who was with him the night they were arrested on weapons and assault charges 5 years ago. The 45-year-old bodyguard says he was, quote, afraid if he stopped, he was going to be hurt by somebody in the car, and if he didn't, he was going to be hurt by the police.
Have you ever stopped to think about the way our society is now and the things that fall under the heading of news?
Mm-hmm.
And not just with Buzz, because we're doing a comedy show
everywhere.
I mean, you watch the real news,
right?
And they do a couple of minutes on the New Hampshire primary, and they do a couple of minutes on the bad weather, and then it's all this.
Right.
This is what we live for now. That's
pretty insane.
And I'm not complaining, because I'm the one eating it up with a big wooden spoon.
I love it, too, and I love the celebrity stuff, too. But there is a shelf life, and there's a burn factor.
But has there ever been a time? Here's my point, Mike.
Kobe Bryant.
Well,
come on.
That won't even play out until May or June.
Right, but I mean, still, it's ridiculous.
But there are so many other celebrities who are now stepping up on a regular basis to do dumb, stupid things before would be the last story at the end of the newscast. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy would say, and hey, how about that crazy Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
Well, now, that's not only the lead story on Entertainment Tonight and Hollywood, that's the lead story on CNN and Fox News Channel and all the rest.
And it's just not enough time for my favorite stuff on the news.
What's that?
The wetter. The wetter I like so bad with that Bob Ryan.
Well, now that she's available, both Puffy and J-Lo have been called to testify in this case. His lawyer says...
Here's J-Lo. Yes, Ms. Lopez?
I know, the Golden Globes. I know, I'm sorry you didn't win.
This is her being deposed.
Yep. No, I heard
Ben has got...
Yes, with Matt Damon, yes. I know, Jennifer!
Oh. Diddy's lawyer says the driver's just trying to cash in on P. Diddy's celebrity.
Excuse me, Mr. Diddy.
Yes.
Mr. Diddy.
Hello, Mr. Diddy.
Mr. Diddy.
That adds credibility to a witness.
Sure, always.
Mr. Diddy.
Mr. Diddy.
We might have forgotten about Eminem by now if it weren't for the women in his life. Thursday, his mom, Debbie Mathers, got carjacked along 8 Mile in Oak Park, Michigan last week.
Now, come on, you have to admit.
Ironic.
That's funny.
It's the same 5-lane road featured in her son's movie. The 49-year-old mom was unhurt. A 16-year-old was arrested for the crime after a foot chase on nearby 7 Mile. Police think it was a random thing. Friday, Eminem's ex-wife was put on probation after being busted for cocaine possession and for not leaving room for an emergency vehicle.
You know, one of our interns here, the late Cannon Grace, who used to work on the show all the time,
Cannon,
and he said something to Mike Messina when he was pitching for the Baltimore Orioles, and it applies to both these women.
Yes, it does.
It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
Hey, Mike.
Cannon's greatest quote.
Have you seen Eminem's mom?
No, I haven't.
Not that he's any prize.
Does she look just like Debbie Rowe and Bonnie Blakely? Could they all be like sisters?
Yeah.
I swear to God, they're effing triplets.
She's so hagged out.
Is she really?
Yeah.
And was it Nicole Kidman who played his mom in the movie? Somebody pretty.
It was Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger.
Somebody his pretty. Mom.
It's amazing with his real mother, because usually after years of clean living, you still look really good.
Let me just also tell all the DJs that are listening to us, that you guys that have to play Eminem records.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can't do it now. I'm too busy. But you could certainly make a good parody record with that one. Lose yourself in the music, the moment, the moment, da-da-da-da-da. You could do a whole thing with, you know, mom getting carjacked in 8 Mile. My mom is
right.
a bitch. You know, do
my
what you would do.
My ex-wife is busted for coke. Can't she die?
Right.
You know, and we should have picked another career, you and me.
I know.
She was also busted for not leaving room for an emergency vehicle. I want to stress that.
Oh, really?
But wife Kim is...
that reminds me of a girl that was just on this show a couple of minutes ago.
That's right.
The girl that was a hit-and-run girl.
Megan.
Megan.
Megan Prize Pig. Eminem's ex pleaded guilty to both of those charges and a charge of driving on a suspended license. In exchange for her guilty plea, she got 2 years probation, and she also ducked a charge of maintaining a drug house.
Another blemish on her record.
Yeah,
drug house.
Yeah.
Is it like H-A-U-S?
Yes, with an umlaut.
That's right.
Like, and actually, it looks like a Hansel and Gretel house.
Welcome! Did you bring your crack? Welcome to the drug house!
I know.
Welcome in!
Now all the good boys and girls get the heroin.
There you go. Go into the corner, we got fresh needles.
Yay!
At the drug house.
Yay! H-A-U-S.
Dankeschön.
Ashton Kutcher, meanwhile, can apparently do no wrong. His movie The Butterfly Effect, hated by critics, was number one of the movies over the weekend, and it was seen by as many men as women.
I don't get it.
I have a theory on this.
Really? The prime example, look at my son, who is almost 19.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He went to see the movie over the weekend with his gal pal, right. And I think it was his choice.
Hmm.
You know, I said to him, you know, it's not like Dude, Where's My Car, and it's not like Punked.
Right.
And
it's a little scary, right?
Mm-hmm. I went to see it. Yeah.
I would go see
totally
it for one reason.
Unbelievable.
I would go see it because of the fat guy with the goth makeup. The guy that's all...
Right.
I don't know whether it's goth or not, but the guy that's got like the makeup on with the hair.
I think the
The trailer, I didn't even pay attention to the plot.
Right.
It looked scary. The trailer was good.
The plot is, I think he can go back in time to change bad things that happen to him.
Right.
And it affects his future.
Yeah.
And I just like the big fat guy with the makeup on.
But you know, it's Ashton...
Who's coughing?
Kutcher.
Me. You, only you can hear that. That's the IBF.
Oh, I didn't understand. You were,
IFB.
IFB.
You're coughing on the intercom.
What?
Exactly. Ashton Kutcher. What, and I know that's not how you pronounce his name.
Right.
I guess you have to say now, he's like the type that can open a weekend. That you put him in a movie.
They say people wanted to see him in a dramatic role after seeing the kooky stuff. Even though they heard the movie was bad, they wanted to see him in a serious role.
I think we're all going to slide into the sea.
Oh, no doubt.
I don't believe that. With this guy becoming, you know, really doing nothing and becoming a big star, we're going to slide into the sea. Arnold Schwarzenegger's governor. You know, the
Arnold Schwarzenegger's on Dennis Miller's show tonight. Dennis Miller's going to give George Bush a pass.
Yes, because he is a Bush backer, as Buzz said before.
Right. Yeah.
What did you say the earlier about
him? He's been to fundraisers. He's flown with Bush on Air Force One.
On Air Force One.
He was in the gallery.
He was at the State of the Union address. Right. Dennis Miller was.
Mm-hmm. So another objective journalist.
They're tight.
Yeah.
The Butterfly Effect opened with a modest $17 million. It pushed into second place the Ben Stiller, Jennifer Aniston romance Along Came Polly. That made $16.5 million this week. Win a Date with Tad Hamilton came in third. Tim Burton's Big Fish, go see
Win
it.
A Date with Tad Hamilton, exclamation point.
That's right. Big Fish, go see
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ. First off, if I'm in the movie, shoot me.
Uh-huh.
Second off, by God's absolute wrath, I'm actually named Tad Hamilton. Please shoot me. Or just forget the Hamilton part.
Well, he's not as talented as his brother.
Who's that?
Hugh Hamilton.
I'm Hugh Hamilton.
You're gone.
And don't forget their dad.
Who?
George.
Yeah, that was George. You know what? George would have been, you win. George would have been the better pull.
King of the Hamilton.
Now, you know what movie I would go see is Win a Date with Chap Peterson.
Chap Peterson, who won his bid,
I believe. He did.
Yeah. Oh, that's that local politician.
Yes, with the bow tie.
What about Win a Date with Charles Pearson?
That would be really
Chuck
good.
Pearson?
Yeah, I mean, you might go to the Super Bowl if you win that date.
And when... Never mind.
Big I know. Were you going to say R.A.?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I thought you were.
I'll say it.
B.A. Don't say it. Make it upset him.
Win a date with B.A.
Ha, fools.
He's still coming in on the show
good.
To do that interview with the black guy who's playing a southern... Confederate soldier.
Right.
Civil War reenactment.
And a Civil War reenactment.
Doesn't like that. He's angry.
VA's coming in for that.
Big Fish was fourth in the latest Lord of the Rings movie that rounds out this week's top five.
Buzz, got to do a break right here. And if you're listening right now, Robert Mailman, yes, this commercial break is racially motivated.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next story, Buzz?
Disney's being sued again.
Oh, fantastic.
Good, good, good.
Smithers, stand by.
This
Smith
is the Don and Mike Show.
Smithers, I mean, Simpson. Ah, hold on, where's Merv?
What happened? Oh.
I'm dry.
Hello.
Hold on, I'm dry. Merv, baby.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
We'll be in Houston on Friday for the Super Bowl, broadcasting live. You can win the ultimate big game party six-pack, a table for six at the ESPN Zone screening room. 16-foot TV to watch the big game, dinner buffet, and ESPN Zone game cards. And guess what? Your buddy Rob Spiewak will be there.
Yeah, come try and stump me with NFL trivia.
5-7.
Yeah, I don't know which is bigger, the game or Rob?
My head.
Rob's head. Right, just show the game on Rob's head.
Flat screen.
Rob will be at the ESPN Zone. Cherry gig, Rob. On Super Bowl Sunday, we'll give away this thing later in the week. Now, once again, here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Disney's being sued again over the movie Roger Rabbit. The lawsuit says Disney owes possibly millions of dollars in merchandise royalties to the guy who wrote the book.
Smith. Smith on the line, please.
Smith, you're average.
I don't want to talk about the Roger Rabbit. I'm stressed out, Smith. I need you.
Mr. Eisner?
Yes, Smith.
Mr. Eisner, I don't know how to tell you this.
What's that, Smith?
I found another.
Oh, my God.
Sir?
No, Smith, tell me it's not true. Who are you seeing? Who are you man effing?
Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, my God.
In the Miramax offices.
Please tell me it's not true, Smith.
It is, sir.
Smith, I'll pay you whatever you want.
All right, I'm lying.
I've never said that before.
I'm lying to you, sir.
Are you joking with me?
It's not him.
Who is it?
It's Les Moonves from CVS.
Does he like you to pull out the shortest hairs like I do?
Oh, yes, sir.
Smith. Don't I have the pretty shortest hairs? Come up to my office, Smith. We can talk about it. And you can pull out my short hairs.
But, sir.
Yes.
Mr. Moonves has promised me a trip to television's King of Queens.
Oh, they can't compete with that, Smith. I'll try to buy Kevin James. Please, one last time, come up and pull out the shortest hairs.
Sir?
Yes, Smith.
This is Smith, Mr. Eisner.
You're just the best. You're the best assistant a big CEO like me, Michael Eisner, could have.
I'll always love you, sir.
I'll always love you, Smith.
But frankly, Moonves has made me a better deal.
Smith?
Eisner?
Why don't you just come up to my office one last time and drool near it?
You violated me for the last time.
Goodbye, Smith.
Wow.
Smith out.
There they are.
So sad.
The end of the romance.
Well, the guy who wrote, who framed Roger... Oh.
Smith Reisner.
Yes, Smith.
I can't let this bit go, sir.
Yes, Smith. It's too late, Smith. I found another.
Oh.
Who did you find, sir?
He's got a big head. His name is Spiewak. I'm hiring him after he does his ESPN Zone bit.
Sir, on a serious note,
yes,
we did have a problem in Tomorrowland. We had a family of eight. Apparently, one of the rides went crazy. Two of the children have been blinded. Two of them are in very serious condition and need your advice. Over.
Smith, give them all an e-ticket. Then join me in my office and stay near me until the short hairs turn gray.
Aw.
You're the greatest, Smith. Best assistant a guy could have. I'm very tired.
I love you, sir.
I love you, Smith. See you in the tub with the pudding.
What are you, effing goofy?
Hey, it's Disney. Ah.
That was a joke, sir.
I understand, Smith. You're the greatest. Bring the nipple clamps.
Do you need your ostrich boots clean, sir?
I do. Lick them clean. Like you always want to do, Smith.
Why must I be your bitch, sir?
Just hold the base of it.
Am I talking to Michael Eisner or Mike O'Meara right now?
I'm talking to Michael Eisner. Hold the base of it. Twist it. Squeeze it until the sauce comes out.
This is why I'm leaving you for Leslie.
Goodbye, Smith.
Goodbye, Mr. Eisner.
Hello, Buzz.
Wow. Hi, Smith and Eisner. The saga continues. Well, the guy who wrote the book, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, wants his share of the money that Disney got from McDonald's and for all the other Roger Rabbit toys. Gary K. Wolf first sued Disney 3 years ago, but the case got thrown out of court. Now a state appeals court has reinstated the lawsuit. The movie grossed nearly $250 million.
You are one sick puppy, Rob Spiewak. I'll tell you right then. No, I'm not going to say hold the base with scissors.
Oh, wow.
That's very interesting. Wow, I guess you like that kind of pain, huh?
Not really.
Blockbuster's being sued over a copy of Home Alone 3 that apparently included some hardcore pornography. The parents of a four-year-old girl say the movie was supposed to be PG. They say they rented the tape April 7th last year from a Blockbuster in Glassboro, New Jersey.
Nice bush.
Company says that if the charges are true, the porn must have been put there by one of its customers.
Uh-oh.
And now your Homeland Insecurity update.
Yeah, here's the question I have to ask you.
Would you mind
taking off your clothes for me?
Well, Jenna Bush is here. You know, you mentioned porn.
Yeah, and she shows up.
Is it Jenna or the other one?
I think Barbara. It's Jenna.
Oh, my God.
Hi.
That's Jenna.
Oh, I had no idea it was so big.
Well, you know, if you're talking about porn, it should be Jenna.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But they are twins, and they're both bad girls.
Yeah, and you are referring, of course, to the younger Barbara Bush.
You know, the skirt's been riding on my ass all day long.
There it is.
There it is. That's the older one.
That's the winner.
And here's your Homeland Insecurity update. At an Energy Department plant in Amarillo, workers repaired a broken but highly explosive nuclear component using duct tape. That's not how they're supposed to fix it.
Hey. That's good work.
Joe likes it.
And that's just one of several recent safety snafus there.
Joe Gibbs is always laughing at this.
About 250,000 people live within the 50-mile radius around the plant. Federal investigators were moved to write this letter. In it, they told the Energy Department that the workers, quote, improperly risked a violent reaction with potentially unacceptable consequences.
Buzz, now let's go to the tape.
Yes.
Of these guys actually fixing the nuclear power.
It was a nuclear device, actually.
With duct tape.
With duct tape, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not supposed to be
there.
Get to know Charlie.
Yeah.
Two trainables.
Joe.
And the security screeners at LaGuardia are getting a talking to after they let a woman with a knife and a stun gun get on an airplane. The woman says she meant to leave those back at the house, and she says she was stunned to approach Denver only to discover she still had them in her purse and had most of the flight. LaGuardia security cannot be too happy that she turned herself into a flight attendant. Government officials have no comment.
How'd she do that?
How'd she do what?
She turned herself into a flight attendant.
She just said, you know, miss.
Like, be with?
No, I thought you meant it was like, you know like I dream a genie.
No.
Now I'm going to turn myself into a flight attendant.
She turned herself in.
Oh.
To a flight attendant.
That's like...
Press the call button.
I walked down the street, turned into a bar.
Thank you. And listen, seriously, because we used to go to New York a lot,
right?
Back when you used to have a radio show, was on in New York.
Those were the days, weren't they?
I just want to say, they should check out the Yankee Clipper restaurant.
Oh, it's just divine.
In LaGuardia.
LaGuardia, it's the finest.
If you're talking about great food, great atmosphere, great ambiance.
Right.
Make it the Yankee Clipper.
My chicken smells like urine.
Yeah. You haven't had chicken until you've had the aged chicken.
Did you say AIDS chicken?
Aged.
Oh, I thought you said the AIDS chicken.
That's what I thought he said, too. Yeah. Well, same thing.
Yeah. It could be. According to an airline spokeswoman, it was an honest but odd mistake.
Have you ever a stun gun? When you traveled with your stun gun that one time and they didn't catch it, you didn't tell anybody.
No.
You just went to the hotel and played with it.
Right.
That's smart. In sports, the Oakland Raiders named Norv Turner as their new head coach.
Hello! Hey, where's that tape that we had? It's not all his fault. And I know we're on in the Bay Area.
Right.
You guys.
Can I sit in your office chair?
I don't know how you're doing.
This is great. I think I'm going to work well with Al Davis.
You remember, so this is back when Norv was the coach of the Redskins.
Right.
And we had to have him on the show every week.
Right.
And I had a real good relationship with him. You did too, Mike.
That's right. You had a great relationship. I mean, you went into his office all the time.
He could not have been a nicer man.
Right. Another one of these NFLers that has fallen in love with you.
But it got to the point where on Tuesdays, when we would have him on, because the Redskins lost every week.
What yeah. And he was like the worst interview in
very
the world.
Depressing. It was very depressing.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget the most recent time when you saw him. In Miami, and he said, "Norv, we were trying to get your attention." He said, "Yes, I saw you."
Oh, that's right. We were on the field with the Ravens, and Norv Turner saw me and walked the other way.
Damn, didn't
they want to pay attention to you.
So we had an intro that was like, "And now the head coach of the Redskins exclusively on the Don and Mike Show," and we had this one made.
Head coach of your Washington Redskins. Remember, he doesn't deserve all the blame. Norv Turner.
Anyway, Norv is a great, decent man who will get eaten up alive and will come out of the actually he'll come out of the stool of Al Davis. Big BM. You know, I know the rationale. Norv has got to get back into that game. There's only 32 guys that can be the coach of an NFL team.
Right.
It's the only job out there. No one else is going to offer him the job as a head coach, so take the Raiders job.
Maybe he'll fool all of us. Wouldn't that be great?
Finally, an 18-year-old co-ed from the University of Bristol in England is selling her virginity on the internet. It goes to the highest bidder to help her pay her $28,000 college fees.
I bet a quarter.
She says she had to do something drastic. She says she's already gotten replies from 400 guys. And the
crap. All right, 50 cents.
The bids, Don, are
50 cents?
They're up to $17,500, these bids, for her virginity.
She better make me eggs then, too.
Quoting her, "My virginity was really valuable, yet something I could do without." I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
You know, instead of instead of being on eBay, it could have been on V-Bay for virgins.
Vagibay.
Yeah, or for vaginas.
Vagina Bay.
We'll see you tomorrow with the new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 Hey, Norm.
Yeah.
Hey, you.
Very pretty.
Yeah.
All right, flat screen head BM.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.